The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Jarvis!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Maxbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress on a wintry Thursday at Gillette Stadium. I woke up today and it wasn't like inches and inches of snow, but the wind. The wind, everybody, the wind.
The wind.
It's just whipping around, and it's just really annoying. So we're supposed to get 4 to 8 inches by the time this is over tomorrow morning. Down in the coastline, I don't know, Andy, what you'll be getting.
But, slush, I'm sure, nothing.
Yeah. But it's a mess out there. But, you know, we're going to warm you up talking Patriots here for the next 2 hours on PFW in Progress.
The big news,
excited,
right?
Excited. And
sure, by now, Welker's retired or something.
Right.
Based on all the previous
we've
reports.
Done all the other options.
That's like the only thing that's left in this choose-your-own-adventure story of his career.
I thought he was going to explore options in Canada.
You know? No, the best part today, we're going to use a check mark early in the show here, but did you see the Boston Globe reporting that Donald Thomas is going to test free agency? Really?
Yeah.
Like, is this a serious story?
I mean, it's almost like, the microscope is so on the team now, and it's probably the same in other, you know, NFL cities as well. But
I'm not sure
like,
it is.
Every year, the Patriots have a group of guys that hit free agency.
Yes, you but know? Is it a story that a backup guard is going to test free agency?
No, it isn't. Like, that's my point.
Yet it's a story here.
Right.
I don't
right.
think it's a story everywhere.
But
that
it
the
never
backup
not used to be. I mean, if you go what? Back 5 years from now.
It never not used to be.
It never used to be. If you go back 5 years from now, Patriots had a list. It may not have been 19 or whatever the number is this year, but they had a list of guys, and a lot of them were Jags, and some of them didn't resign, you know? And,
no, but
it was never a story.
I don't
now
think
it
in
is.
32 cities they say, our backup guard is going to test free agency. That's like a tweet or a headline or a blog entry. Everyone assumes the backup guard is probably going to see if anywhere he goes, he could, you know,
could
play
star.
More, make
right.
more.
Right.
Like, it's a much lower level version of what Andy and I talked about last week with Matt Cassel. You know, everybody just automatically assumes that Alex Smith has gone to Kansas City, so Matt Cassel is going to get released, and he'll come here and be Brady's backup.
Right.
And that very well might happen.
Right.
I'm not saying it won't. It
but
certainly
he might test free agency.
But if I'm Matt Cassel, before I do that, I'm going to look at teams that sort of are in need or where I can go and compete legitimately to be the starter. I'm going to look at Jacksonville. I'm going to look at Cleveland. I'm going to look at some other city where I might have a chance to beat out the guy. I'm not going to beat out Tom Brady, so why would I sign there?
Right.
Unless
I
had no option.
I think what part of what caught me on that is like ESPN reports that Wes Welker is going to test free agency, which is a story, and that's interesting. And then very next day, the Globe follows up with, oh, we got one too. Donald Thomas is going to test free agent. Like,
yeah,
not really a good time to do that.
Yeah, it's a mad scramble to find some news in, you know. When
and I think the league loves it. You know, I read today Greg Bedard
Greg's
kind of insinuating
today,
like the whole tampering window, the 9th through the 12th, is a league office thing to like inject even more life and speculation into this whole media
process.
I'll
give you another example of like how this is kind of crazy right now. On Patriots.com, you can comment on articles.
I can't.
And one of the things was a Welker story, and someone commented either late last night or early this morning, like, tell Welker to pack his bags, don't let the door hit him in the ass on the way out, blah, goes on and on. You know, how dare he have disdain for this? First of all, he never said it. Okay, this is a media report. So let's not, like, jump to the conclusion that Wes Welker hates the Patriots right now. He's doing what he should be doing if he is, in fact, going to wait until free agency to see what's out there. It doesn't have to be, like, you know, this hatred. And, you know, it's
and doesn't everybody at some point have, like, disdain for their employer?
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
At some point,
and
don't
that's
you
a
say,
strong word. Or frustration.
Him
or,
right now.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, everybody gets mad about something in their workplace.
Yeah, I mean, who knows if Welker really felt that way, to your point, Fred. But the other thing is, really, so he shouldn't have the right to be upset for whatever reason he deems to be upset. I don't know what, you know, if it's truly related to the way he was sort of put on the back burner to open the season, he doesn't have a right to be upset.
It's the combination of two worlds,
but
too.
He's supposed to work for the Patriots and say, this is the greatest thing in the world, and no matter what they do to me, I don't care.
What employee was never mad at their boss, and what player was never mad at their coach, and when you play professional sports, now you're combining the two into one.
And
every coach you ever had, right? You must have had something where you
we
said...
We all play, at some level, we all play high school sports, right? That's, we all have that in common. Can you ever remember a time where, you know, there was at least one time when you were mad at your coach?
Nah.
No? Never?
I don't think so.
Oh, I was. Oh, all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's always something that happens where you
I remember
know, you feel
my
like
basketball
coach
coming up to me goes, you know, and I wasn't starting.
You played basketball?
Yeah. I you know, I was a guard, but I didn't start.
You didn't play power forward?
No. And the coach.
Center.
I could have. I could box out anybody. But anyway, the coach.
From all that butt bumping in middle school, he could box out.
He's like
out
coach
anybody.
On Cheers. I could get hit by a pitch no matter where it's thrown.
The coach comes up to me and goes, you know, if you could dribble, if you could go righty, because I was a lefty, if you could go righty the way you would probably get a starting job. And I'm thinking to myself, ask all the righties how well they go lefty. I was thinking to myself, you know, screw that. You know, those guys can't go left. You know, I just thought it was unfair.
Don't you think he probably told them to work on going left?
No, but what happens is you go into drills, and all these kids are going right, and you stick out.
He's right. He's right about that.
No, I know, but I'm assuming if he was a coach, he was asking them to work on going left.
Yeah, that's a big assumption.
Yeah, it is.
Not everybody played for terrible coaches.
All I know is he took me aside and said that, and I felt it was unfair.
No, because you look...
So you had a mild
I know what he's
him.
Talking about, because when you just do the generic drills in basketball,
right.
You look like you don't know how to play because you're doing everything righty, and everybody else is doing it in their strong hand, and you're doing it in your weak hand. And that's hard to sort of overcome that perception from your coach.
I would purposely dribble up court, you know, when I was unguarded, righty,
yeah.
So it looked like I was a righty, and then as soon as I got close, I'd cross over to left.
It's a very, very common left-handed crafty move. That's why they call us crafty, Fred.
That was in The Princess Bride. I have something to tell you. I am not right-handed.
Right.
Don't pull any switches.
Anyway, so Paul's here. Andy's here. Webradio at patriots.com is the email
African
address.
Queen.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And we do have verification that Andy was not involved in that lion mauling.
Eric.
Oh, did I say Andy?
Yes.
Yeah. Eric is okay.
And we know for a fact, because I mean, it was a person having sex.
Right.
So it's guaranteed it wasn't Eric.
Right.
He's the safest man in Africa. So
there was
only
a story coming out
sex.
Of Africa where two people were in the bushes, like animals.
That guy was in the bush and in the bush, if like, you know what I'm saying.
Like animals having sex.
He's just
a lion.
He starts the show and it's just nonstop.
A lion gets
this is
a woman.
Why they don't like you.
So,
because the man ran away wearing nothing but a...
But I do think it's kind of...
Can we say that word?
Very coincidental that we
condom?
Were just talking
based
about
based on
that.
What you say?
You know, don't you think, though, it's coincidental that
think
this
it's
story
strange.
Comes out this week?
I think it's very strange.
Yes. It's a great story.
Two maulings this week. There was another one.
In San Diego.
Yeah, the reserve or something.
Right. Andy only thought the one with the person having sex was a good story.
Right.
No, that's a great story. That's not good. That's great.
Death and destruction. Good.
Yeah. I mean, that's a story. That guy has a story
I didn't
story
say it
tell.
Wasn't a story, but it's
and
not
the best
a good
part
one.
Is they didn't believe him. They thought he was just a whack job because he was running around naked with just a condom, if we can say that word, apparently.
Yeah. But... Wouldn't it have fallen off at some point?
You would think.
Yeah.
I think I would have been the opposite of scared stiff.
Right.
I would have been scared limp.
If the lion got it, it would have fallen off.
But and then apparently they found other body parts, so maybe this lion ate more than one person.
Could be.
It really, see, this is what I don't get. Like, the pictures Eric has put on Instagram that I've seen make it look very controlled, kind of. His safari is very
high-end.
And yet these people... were having sex in the bushes next to a school, and a lion ate them.
Right.
So, like, which is it? Is it controlled, or are there lions just walking around the streets eating people?
Well, I think more and more that's there are lions walking around the streets.
Because that's what I think Africa is. I think of Africa as kind of like just lions.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like Eric's in that place.
Well, they're inside, and they are guarded, you know.
When's he coming back?
Is he going to be back on Monday?
I don't know. You're his boss.
I don't know. I have to check the we have this employee hours thing that I have to log into. So when someone wants a vacation, I log into it, and I approve it, and I put in the hours.
I'm going on vacation tomorrow. I probably should have told you
that. But it takes literally takes me 10 minutes for this thing to boot up. It's ridiculous. So I avoid it like the plague.
IT/HR. Check.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so Welker's on the...
When we last spoke...
Tuesday.
We were talking about the disdain, but we hadn't reached the Mike Giardi report that he was closing in on a...
Imminent. Was it... Did he work...
He didn't use the
word
imminent.
Closing in on a long-term deal.
He said that there's a chance that he could be signed by the weekend, and yesterday he backed up his story by sending out another tweet saying that he stands by his source that a deal could be done.
And he was on the radio, too, I guess.
And he also definitively said both sides wanted to reach a deal before free agency. The goal was both sides before March 12th. Right. Whereas Schefter then came out, I guess, yesterday and said he is definitively going to test free. He will not sign a deal before testing free agent waters. The only thing I don't know there is, does the ninth count, like, from the Schefter report? You know, if Dunn goes out there and talks to three teams, he might think are interested, and they say, well, this is what we're willing to do, is that testing free agent waters? And then he could sign on the 11th before free agency because he found out those offers were ballpark.
Right. Yeah, to me, it's not.
Well, now, if you were the Patriots, would you accept this if you were the Patriots? You give him a deal, you know, you've negotiated, and you come to a point where Welker goes, you know, that's pretty close. Just give me the few days, you know, during that period, and if nothing blows me away, I'll sign that. Would you say okay if you were the Patriots with that understanding?
Yeah, I really don't think the Patriots would have much choice unless they just didn't care if he comes back.
Well, there's some teams that say take it or leave it.
Well, that's
here, it's off the table.
Well, to me, that's when you're signing another team's player. Like if he gets an offer from Denver, I think Denver could very well say, well, this is my offer. You're not going back to Belichick and trying to just squeeze more money out of us. We're not going to be your pawn.
Right.
The Patriots are trying to retain a player.
Right.
And if they say take it or leave it, he's going to say, well, I'm going to leave it.
Yeah.
And he's going to go out and see what 31 other teams have to say.
What I would say to Wes is, look, in good faith, if you're going to leave, it's got to be, you know, significantly more than this. You know, if you're going to leave for a little bit more, we'd be disappointed.
If you said that to me, I would tell you to go F yourself. Don't tell me
what's in my best interest.
But we're making you an offer in good faith, and now you're going to go use that to get more.
Well, Wes thinks he signed a franchise tag in a leap of good faith.
Well, we did. They didn't franchise him again.
Well, that's not what the
that's not the implication
was. He thought he was going to sign a long-term deal. That was his leap of faith.
He did his leap of faith in the spring.
Now,
last year.
I don't know. It could be Wes's fault that he didn't sign an extension. They may very well have offered him something that was reasonable, and he didn't deem it so.
Do you think that to be the case?
No.
Me either.
Because based on what we've seen reported, it's the 2-year $16 million, and I don't think that's a reasonable offer.
Now, let me ask you this.
Particularly for a guy who was already guaranteed $9.5 million.
Every negotiation is about leverage. Who has leverage here? Like, who has the leverage? Because that's the question you ask. They risk losing Welker, but Welker risks losing the offer. You know, where is the leverage? Who has hand here?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know what the market is because we hear all these stories of what his value is outside of New England. My gut is he has the leverage.
See, if Welker, I agree with Fred. If Welker, unless he is just really hell-bent on returning, I think Welker has all the leverage because he can always come back. At less.
And now the franchise period is gone. They can't use that.
So he has the ability. I mean,
I think Welker has all the leverage, personally.
I do,
because
too.
I think I look at it like this. If he leaves, what do the Patriots do? To me, they need to fill a pretty good-sized void in their offense somehow.
Yep.
If the Patriots say, Wes, take it or leave it, and he goes, well, I'm going to leave it and go look at elsewhere, I think there's a good chance he can find a team that will pay him good money where he'll fit in. I think there's a better chance of that than them just finding some guy who will replace him. That's how I look at the replaceability.
I think there's almost no chance that he can't get whatever the deal is that the Patriots are offering him
right.
somewhere
else. And I also think there's no chance that they're going to replace him man for man. You're just not going to do it.
Right.
Well, I think that if they don't replace him, I mean, if they let him go, I think they're going to – this is back to our Tuesday conversation, and there's pros and cons to it. I'm on the pro side. I think Andy's on the con side. I think you have to change what you're doing offensively and stop focusing on a slot receiver over the middle as often as you – and that goes widespread. That's Josh McDaniels. That's Bill Belichick. That's Tom Brady. I mean, I think that he needs to sort of branch out, let the tight ends do the job over the middle, and they're going to have to draft somebody. And maybe we can get Andy's guy, Terrence Williams, and hope that he works out. But you're also going to have to sign somebody else.
But I don't even get into the philosophical side. I just get into, I'm Wes Welker, and I look at what you have. You have one receiver who caught 70 passes who, by all accounts, you don't want. You're right. going to cut. You have a couple tight ends who you really like, but one who's hurt all the time and had a bad year, and the other who has had his injuries. He's very productive, but has had his injuries. If I leave, you're just going to bring new guys in? Because that's worked out well for you when you've brought new guys in and tried to.
Well, that's why I said it's got
to
be.
That's why I think
that's
it's
why
all
I'm saying
leverage.
It has to be a philosophical change.
No, but it to me, I don't care about the philosophy.
Yeah, I do. Because Tom Brady needs to be on board with it, and if he's not, then it's not going
to
work.
But to me, that's irrelevant. I don't care about that if I'm Wes. You haven't been able to bring in a receiver and develop him as either a rookie or a free agent, so good luck replacing me.
Yeah,
that's what I.
See,
no matter
I'm not
what,
looking. I'm not looking to replace Wes Welker's 120 catches.
I don't know.
I want to change.
You're getting
everything.
Caught up in your philosophy.
I don't care if I have less than 120 catches.
But you're
out of the guy who replaces.
You're
Wes
not
Welker.
Listening. You're getting caught up in
it.
Philosophy. You're not listening. I'm saying, good luck replacing me as whoever I am, whether I line up as wide as you can get and go down the outside, or I'm a slot guy. You haven't developed one. Julian Edelman didn't work. Joey Galloway didn't work. Chad Ochocinco didn't work. So whoever you are, whether you say we're going to go through the outside, we're going to be down, you haven't developed any of them. So good luck replacing me as a productive force with anybody of any kind in any philosophical offense.
And that's fine. And if I'm the Patriots, I'm going to say I'll just continue merrily along and I'll score 500 points because I'll find a way to do it. I always have. That's what I'll say.
You never have without Wes Welker.
I never had the ability to find a tight end who could do anything until all of a sudden I drafted two that were excellent. So...
That's
just
why
because,
I'm Wes, I
just
say,
because Joey Galloway didn't work
luck
out
with that.
And
well,
Taylor Price didn't work out doesn't mean the next guy I do
know,
didn't work out.
That. What's
yeah,
the saying?
You
can do it. Everybody,
that's what I would
say. Everybody is...
Replaceable.
Right.
Except for Tom Brady.
Right.
And that's
Brady.
How I feel if I'm the Patriots.
Right.
And that's why, listen,
good
I agree
with
Andy.
That's what I would say with Wes. I'd tell you to stick it and good luck with that.
Well, this doesn't have anything to do with what Wes is going to say. Who cares what Wes says? You either
well,
want back
if
or you
have,
don't.
Whoever has leverage. That's what this is about. Who's willing to push the point because they feel
it's about what the Patriots want. Do they want him back or not?
No, but it's leverage. It's still about leverage.
I don't understand. If the Patriots don't want him, what do they
in
care
a negotiation,
if the other guy has the leverage?
You have a certain point where you go, I'm not crossing that
line.
Yeah,
but I think...
I can't push him to the limit.
Listen, we can get back to the beginning. I think Wes is going to resign. I think
oh,
he's
I do,
coming,
too.
I think
all
he's
along.
Coming back here. And I think we all feel sort of the same way. It's not as sure a thing as we felt last year, but we all think that he's going to be back, right? I do.
Yeah, I'm pretty close
anybody?
To it's a sure thing.
But to me... I agree with you.
I'll be stunned.
You asked me who had the leverage at the beginning of this, and I agree with you. I think Wes does because I think Wes is going to get an offer, at bare minimum, equal to what he's going to get from the Patriots from somebody. I think he's going to get an offer that far exceeds that offer from somebody. And if he wants to go, I think he'll go.
Yeah,
he
I don't
has
know what the
leverage.
Patriots are offering.
He has the leverage, but to me, it's about what the Patriots want. Do they really care if he leaves or? Is it like it was at the beginning of last year where they were sort of seemingly prepared for life without Wes Welker? Have they changed that line of thinking based on what happened last year and the fragility of the tight ends and, Wes's durability? I don't know why it would have taken last year for the Greg Bedard piece and his little narrative today. I don't know why it would have taken his durability last year to prove to them that he's durable.
Oh, I don't think it's him. I think it's the lack of durability of Hernandez. The guy they penciled into that role has now proven he can't stay healthy and beyond that had a bad year, compounding that. The health is one issue for me, but the other issue is, like we joke about, Welker takes a big hit, goes to the sideline, they check his eyes for a minute. That's first down. Second down, they get him up and walk around. Third down, he's on the field catching the 3rd and 9. Hernandez takes a big hit, and the next pass, he's like,
so your point is Welker's value went up. In relation to other people,
to the replacement
to
options,
right.
I think his value. I don't think anything he did changed.
Yeah. Do you make anything out of the fact that during this whole period we haven't heard a word from Welker? What do you make of that, if anything? Not a word.
I don't make much. I don't think that is comfortable
thing,
with last
thing,
year.
Doesn't matter.
I think last year he wasn't comfortable with how every time he said something or tweeted, it kind of felt like it got spun
right. And
it was uncomfortable. I think he realized that's not my game. You know, I think there are some guys who, you know, Logan Mankins was fine with what he said and how he'd say it and wasn't uncomfortable. I think Wes was uncomfortable how things played out last year.
Yeah, because we have not heard a word.
And he didn't talk a ton last year either.
No.
And I agree with the way Andy just said that. And when he did, I think he may have tweeted when they franchised him. And that was a big deal. And then he definitely tweeted when he signed the tender. That was a huge deal, the leap of faith thing. And then he talked right after that at that clinic that he does
right. Up
in Peabody that I was at. And he talked about, you know, this is more money than, you know, this is like, you know, nine times more money than I've ever made, or, you know, all the right things about how excited he was to be a Patriot, both short term and long term, and all the money, $9.5 million was more than he'd ever made. And it does. I think Andy's right. Everything he said last year did sort of take on a life of its own.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just saying, I'm just not going to say anything now, because, like, how did you put it? That's not his game.
Yeah, I think he realized that. It's.
Yeah, I think there might be some truth.
And he cares. I think he genuinely cares, too. Whereas.
And I think that's what the Patriots
Mankins
try
didn't.
To.
See, I think Mankins is kind of the big balls. I'm coming in. Right. I don't give a bleep what you say or what
you say. I don't think Mankins cares if he gave up football today.
Right.
He'd go back to California, get back
I think
on
Wes
his ranch.
Does. Wes cares, yeah. That he, you know, plays football, but even more so, I think he wants to be here and he wants to fit in.
Yeah. And get a Super Bowl.
And I think the Patriots.
That's where I. Pump the brakes.
Well,
you don't think winning a Super Bowl is important?
Oh, I do.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I think he'd enjoy it in Denver.
But
let me get into that, because I'm glad you brought that up. And I know that you don't think this. I'm not attacking you, so don't get defensive. But the whole Jason Cole story that, you know, he sort of wrote the whole thing. And Fred, you made the comment on Tuesday. It was almost like it was written by
the Patriots,
by us,
yeah.
By the Patriots. You know, what's best for Wes Welker's legacy? Well, I have a question, and this is a completely honest question. What would be better for Wes Welker's legacy? Catching another 120 passes next year in New England and winning the Super Bowl, or going to Denver or Indianapolis or Green Bay or Houston and catching 100 and some odd passes and winning a Super Bowl?
Well, I see what you're
saying. Because I think the second thing would be better for his legacy, because he's showing you, all you people that think that I was a product of the Patriots and Tom Brady,
no, but
here's a couple for you,
that's
and
true.
Here's a Super Bowl for
but,
you
but
somewhere else.
You also talk about post-career marketing opportunities. If he
oh,
did
please,
it here.
He's not a marketing guy.
Well, no, but if he did it here, he'd have more
he's
marketing
selling,
opportunities.
He's selling adult diapers. He's not a
I think all that stuff is so overrated.
Well,
absolutely.
What is Troy Brown getting now? All I see on Twitter from Troy Brown is, like, motivational quotes. Like, I don't see commercials anymore, and everybody used that argument. You know, he re-signs here, you know, he'll have what opportunities?
Now, there was a time.
Now, he does a little pre- and post-game work, but
yes.
I think Wes Welker could come back and do that. Rosie Colvin does that for the Colts. When did he play for the Colts? He didn't.
It's right. I think that stuff is vastly overrated. I think if you want to talk about a guy's legacy and what's best for a guy's legacy, for him, if he does what he's been doing for the last 6 years for his seventh year, it's ho-hum.
Right.
If he does what he did the last 6 years somewhere else,
and they
win a Super Bowl in both places, it's apples to apples. It's a Super Bowl in either place.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he goes somewhere else and wins,
but
he didn't win
he
here.
He won't be going into the Broncos Hall of Fame. He will be going into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Well, he's going into the Patriots Hall of Fame either way.
I don't know about that, really.
Well, then that's, I mean, I'm probably as big a detractor of Wes Welker as you can get. If he's not a Patriots Hall of Famer, then let's get Brian Morey out of
How
a job
many catches
and eliminate
do you
that
need?
Place.
Well, you know, winning a Super Bowl is important. And
so it's just a Super Bowl Hall of Fame.
It helps.
No, somehow they tell me that this is the ultimate team game. Tom Brady signs a restructure
right.
and an extension, and everybody lauds him for being the ultimate team player in the ultimate team game.
Right.
And then we're anti-Wes Welker in the Patriots Hall of Fame because he never won a Super Bowl.
Right.
So it's no longer a team game, evidently.
Right. If he's not going in the team Hall of Fame, then blow the bleeping thing up.
Yeah. Brian Morey can return to PFW because
no, he cannot. Damn it!
He's got no use in that hall.
Keep it open.
All right,
come
Web
on.
Radio
Wes Welker is the epitome of a team Hall of Fame.
Now the question,
he probably is.
Probably.
You know, I'm tough on that.
Where would Wes enjoy it more?
I would think that Wes would enjoy it here, because of his relationship with Tom.
Correct.
But. You know,
that kind of matters, right? I mean, if you're a person, that matters.
That's why I never.
To say. If he goes to another team. Has the same production and wins a Super Bowl. I can see Paul's point where it wasn't Tom Brady and it's not Bill Belichick.
And there's
and
a lot of people
Patriots
out there
offense.
Like me
and
that
he can
think
stick
like
it
that.
In everyone's face, like he said about Bill.
Right.
But
I also think there's a question of, would he enjoy it as much? And does he want to?
He may not.
Does he want to win it here? Is this where he's invested?
Well, I got a feeling if you're winning, it's happy yeah. town anywhere.
If you could ask
I don't think it's the same.
No?
Like, I don't think Ray Bourque winning in Colorado is as good as it would have felt to win in Boston and bring that cup to Boston.
Yeah, but
it's different.
Yeah, but
I don't think every championship is the same.
But you're asking him, but you're asking something that's now impossible. Where would you rather win it all?
No, I know.
I mean, obviously, they both can't win it all.
But he has an equal chance. I mean, I put both of those teams among the best in the AFC.
I would agree.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he'd rather win here. Sure.
But that's an impossible
thing. I think he'd more rather win here than he'd more rather stick it to anybody, whether it's Bill or critics.
Yeah. No, but I'm attacking the specific thing about, you know, this. We're always tugging at some guy's heartstrings, you know, when we write these stories, you know, what would be best for his legacy? Well, I'm sorry. I think the NFL at large would view Wes Welker in a higher place if he goes somewhere else and does this again and wins somewhere else.
Sure.
Now, I agree with you. I think his relationship with Tom would always be part of that, that he would say, I wish I could have done it with Tom.
Sure.
But, you know, in terms of how he's viewed, his legacy.
Tom was holding me back, making those
his
bad
legacy,
throws.
To me, is enhanced by doing it somewhere else.
You could be right. Absolutely. Particularly nationwide.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, that's your legacy is by how everybody views you.
Right.
Not just how, you know, the inside 128 belt in Massachusetts.
Really all that matters.
Well, for us it is.
All right, 508-298-0398
is the
Ace Ticket Hotline. We got some calls stacking up now. Let's get them quick because we do have a ton of emails coming in. Ken's in North Carolina. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Great.
I got the ultimate trade for you guys.
Love it.
It is going to be the best trade done in football this year.
Okay, go ahead.
It has to do with PFW.
Uh-oh. Are we trading Eric for a bag of balls?
No, Eric for Al and Val Duff.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
Eric,
Al
write?
He has a great radio voice. He makes a lot of sense. He actually knows something about the Patriots.
Wow. But, Ken, you have to remember, though, that this show is like...
talking about soccer and cricket.
Right.
But this talks about football.
But, Ken, this show is only about, what, 10, 15% of what these guys do. So can he do all the other things, Alan Valdosta?
Can Eric?
Valdosta. Anyway.
But Eric can't either, so that puts someone on the playing field.
Do anything.
All right.
He's useless. I'm with you, Ken.
It's a great call, Ken.
Okay, thanks for the call, Ken.
We'll have to bring that up to the African Queen when he returns.
Tyrone in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, how you guys doing? I just want to make some stuff real quick, then I hear you guys intelligent comment after the.
Okay.
After I hang up. I want to talk about how to fix the Patriots real quick. I ain't heard nobody talk about the guy Henderson out of Henderson from the Saints. He's a wide receiver.
Devery Henderson.
Yeah, Devery Henderson, Donnie Avery. I love Wes Welker, but move him. I love him, but move him. I don't want Brady throwing a lot. He's getting old. I don't want him throwing a lot of balls anyway. You keep Kamar Aiken. You got Donnie Avery Henderson. You move Hernandez to wide receiver because he's not. Use Hernandez how.
He's not fast enough for wide receiver.
Well, he don't block as good as a tight end, so that could go either way. But I think the keep Hooman, Ballard, and Gronk as a tight end, and move Donnie Woodhead and
what about Jake Ballard?
That's
what he just said.
Hooman, Gronk, and Ballard.
Okay,
and that's your three tight ends, and I think that right there should do the job.
Okay, and Ridley's still your running back, right?
Really bolden, and use Vereen as they use Donnie Woodhead. I think if you get Henderson and Aiken and draft another wide receiver, athletic, fast. I think that should get the job.
Excuse me? All right. No, that sounds good, Tyrone.
Oh, okay. Another thing I want to talk about. I don't know if any of you guys watched because me and my friend was arguing about it. Anybody watch when Michael Jordan, I reached 50. I got NBA TV, and I was watching Michael Jordan. Me and my wife, who never watched Michael Jordan play because I was sick that day, and we watched
He played
Michael
more than
Jordan.
One day.
It what?
He played more than one day. You said you were sick that day.
I was sick and I was home.
Oh, okay.
Jordan had made 50 years old or whatever.
Right. They had a special.
NBA TV had Michael Jordan all day long. Me and my wife, who never watched Michael Jordan play.
Yeah.
Me and my wife watched it, and she was just amazed, and she was mad at herself not to watch Michael Jordan play, and she was just amazed. She watched the whole thing. Mm. And me and my friend was all in because he don't like basketball. And I was telling him, yo, dude, if it wasn't for basketball, football, you're going to be where it's at because you can't even watch a football game without a basketball reference in there. And so I want to ask you guys, when Michael Jordan was playing, because I remember when Michael Jordan was playing, football was like in the after, like it wasn't no football player as much. Like Joe Montana, Jerry Rice. I mean, there wasn't. It was all Michael Jordan. I mean, at that time. And
well, that was certainly the heyday of the NBA.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Even at, I remember CNN, every Sunday night at 7 o'clock, CNN had Inside the NBA with my man Fred Hickman, and everybody used to watch it, and it was really good. So I'm asking you now, if Michael Jordan was playing now, would football be where it's at now? And if there's any football player present that could establish himself like how Michael Jordan did, like
that's a good question. That's a very good question, Tyrone.
I don't think so. But anyhow, you guys have a good one.
All right. Good question. I mean, I think in the NBA, because you have five guys on the court at one time, it's easier to become that individual superstar than football. But would football be the sport it is now from a viewership if –
Yes.
Guys, yeah, I think so too. I mean, there are guys that are great in the NBA now. Let's face it.
LeBron is going to be like Jordan by the time he's done. You know, number 1, number 2, I think the NFL has absolutely grown during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the ratings would be what they are. That was coming. It's just too easy. Right. Everything about football is just
every game is so important.
Easy to follow, and the fantasy football and all the stuff that goes along with it would have made football. Now, is Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and those guys, are they as big as Michael Jordan?
God. Hell no, not even
not
close.
Even
you know, no,
not even
not even 50%.
But
not
it,
even
but it doesn't matter.
No. Michael Jordan
is the greatest marketed athlete that ever lived.
You could make the argument that Nike wouldn't be where it is today without Michael Jordan.
I agree, but I also think Michael Jordan wouldn't be where he is without Nike and Gatorade and Mikey.
Yeah.
Like this. It was all perfect. It all just worked. The way he looked, the way he won, everything about him was perfect. It was the perfect confluence of factors that created.
No doubt.
And he's as global as anyone has ever been and maybe ever will be.
Yeah. Tyrone, if you are really a huge Jordan fan, I suggest
Space Jam?
I think ESPN, the magazine, had a story. I read it online, though, so I don't know exactly which issue it was in. Wright Thompson wrote a very detailed feature of him when he turned 50. It just came out. It's a new story. It's fantastic, and I think you'll get a lot of enjoyment out of reading that. So I highly recommend that. Wright Thompson wrote it for ESPN.com.
All right, Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Well, I sort of agree with Welter does have the upper hand, but I hope he stay with us and get rid of the rest of them. But
even Kamar Aiken,
Greg Jennings, and Ogletree coming into the mix.
Greg Jennings is going to cost you a lot of money,
even at his age.
Yeah, the reports were he was looking for $12 million a year. Now I'm guessing it's not a 6-year $12 million per year, but 4 and 48 is maybe what he's looking for, something like that. As I said when that report came out, cross him off the list.
Is it smart for a guy to like say these astronomical numbers out in public, but then when you sit down, say, "I'll make you a deal."
Sure, it's all negotiating. Yeah. You start high and then you come down to where you want to be.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I don't think he's worth it. I think Greg Jennings is a very good wide receiver, and I'm a little concerned about his. Last year especially, but his production has been a little bit off because of injuries. And
I wouldn't pay him.
I'd be a little concerned about
right
that.
About now, though.
Well, yeah, he should be healthy, but what if he's never the same?
I know. Aaron Hernandez is probably healthy right now, too, but are you worried about him for next year?
No, I wouldn't be.
You're not worried about Aaron Hernandez's health?
Aaron, yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, I'm sure Aaron Hernandez is healthy right now.
We know Fred always doubts guys coming off major groin injuries. He's always a little hesitant.
But Hernandez
I doubt them when they go on those injuries.
I don't know what happened to him lately. I like this. And once he got paid, like, he just quit playing.
Who?
If you ask me, personally.
Hernandez.
If you ask me. And for defense-wise, you know, they got some good, they got some darn good corners out there. Darn good corners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was hoping, like, dream team-wise, Casey Williams, Rogers, or Cox, one of those, and Ed Reed, and Golson back in safety. You know, because if we lose to Lee, well.
You talking about Kerry Williams?
Yeah, Kerry Williams. Okay. And have Kruger for the defensive end.
Oh, boy.
We just spent about $190 million.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's my dream team anyway.
Yeah, okay. Ain't happening. Sorry.
All right, thanks, Eldridge. Eldridge, yeah.
He just signed, like.
Yeah,
five
all
guys
the free agents.
Then they're going to cost you like, you know, $15 million signing bonuses.
$9 or $10 million for Kruger. Kerry Williams, probably
he's
similar.
Probably like a 550 kind of guy. Four, you know, four, you know, maybe five and
the
40.
Other guys, at least it'll be shorter, but it'll still be $6 million a year probably for
Goldson's
some of those. Goldson's
going to be a high priced guy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
By the way, Andy, we got a lot of negative feedback about you.
Can't get enough of it.
We'll get to later.
I like it.
Can't
I
get
like
enough
it.
Of that.
Yeah, a lot of people upset with you.
Groundswell of lack of support on the internet.
Michelle in Stockholm says, Wes, to sign or not to sign, I hope he'll be back for obvious reasons. I'm appalled at what I've read some fans tweeting. They seem to lack the understanding of football being a business. I have no problem with him testing the market. And if he does end up somewhere, well, best of luck to Wes. A couple of things. I wish people would
stop.
It's a
very rational email.
Sure.
There's no place for that here.
Had to come all the way from Stockholm, but that's okay. A couple of things. I wish people would stop with the Amendola replacing Welker theory. He can't stay healthy. He's only played one 16-game season, and that was back in 2009. And what do you guys think for the right price of John Abraham coming off a 10-sack season, played all 16 games, did have that ankle issue at the end, but still seems to have some left?
Yes, please.
You like it?
I'd be interested.
We've said all along. Give us a veteran pass rusher. That was one of my targets heading into the offseason. Add a veteran, and not Trevor Scott, not
there's
some
three,
guy.
And there's three specific guys that are
right.
available. You should be able to get one at a reasonable rate. Osa Umenyura, John Abraham, and Dwight Freeney. There's three guys that fit exactly what Andy and I have been talking about. A veteran guy to come in, and you don't have to worry about dropping into pass coverage. You don't have to worry about setting the run 35 times a game. I just want you to do the Bill Cowher thing from the NFL Films. Just rush the quarterback, as I'm spitting all over the microphone.
Jonathan writes in, I was listening to Tuesday's show, and it got me thinking about the Patriots' offense in a shift in our approach. Personally, I don't think the Patriots will change anything, but possibly try to upgrade Lloyd's spot in the offense. I guess the team's philosophy would be it was the third highest scoring offense in NFL history. Why change it? But this is what I think we should be considering doing. Allow Welker to leave as a free agent. We move Hernandez to the slot and get two legitimate outside receivers. Would that not force opponents' safeties to have to respect the deep part of the field more than they do now? Would it not allow the lower half of the field where Gronk and Hernandez work to be more open? Would it not allow more running room down low for our running backs? I'd like the Patriots to re-sign Edelman and draft another receiver, Andy's guy from Baylor or anyone taller than 5'9". It's time that the position gets younger and bigger, and I'd cut Lloyd, too. And P.S., Brady wouldn't throw up rainbow passes like Flacco because the receivers are not big enough. Oh, he won't do it because they're not big enough to go up and fight for a jump ball.
Well, he does it occasionally, and it's always picked off.
So,
yeah, I'll play Andy's side of the road here. I think that your blueprint for your change of the offense makes a lot of sense, but it's very easy to say, get two new guys on the outside.
Right.
Okay, it's, you know, as much as I kind of am really intrigued by the idea of seeing what the Patriots offense could be if it changed a little bit, you can't just sit there and snap your fingers and say, get two new guys on the outside. Because you could get two new guys and they could be Torrey Holt and Joey Galloway. Then what do? That's not opening up the middle for Gronkowski and Hernandez. You know, so if they can get, you know, a guy in the draft and maybe, you know, a couple, you know, a Brian Hartline or a David Nelson and maybe, you know, I don't want to get, like, to the high end with the Greg Jennings and the Mike Wallaces because I think that's unrealistic. But if you could get a solid veteran receiver who can play on the outside, draft a young guy.
And that's the high end. The
who
young
can play on the outside.
The young one could be your high end. He could come in and just be, wow, he's good.
And then you got to hope it works. You got to hope the guys can play.
So basically, you, Greg Bedard and all these people that want to run Welker out of town.
I don't want to run
It's a
Welker
Brady
out of
problem.
Town, but don't say
you
that.
Don't trust Brady.
I think that
you
Brady
don't think
throws
Brady
the ball to where
can
he's
change his game.
Yeah, that well that's part of it.
So it's a it's
that's
not
certainly
a Welker
not Greg's
issue.
Feeling.
It's not a Welker issue, it's a Brady issue.
For me,
cuz I don't understand the theory of if I bring in a guy who can play on the outside, not Ocho Cinco, not Brandon Lloyd, who I every time I throw him the ball he either falls down or looks stupid.
Yeah, I don't want any part of Lloyd.
I don't understand it's an either or. I guess that's my problem. Why can't I keep Welker and actually bring in a competent outside receiver? But you're saying you don't have the trust that Brady will diversify his game.
I would have some reservations about that.
I just find this so ironic that like 4 years ago it was got to get rid of Moss because he's, you know, fallen in love. He just forces it to Moss and it's just all Moss. And now we got rid of Moss and we got to get rid of Welker because he's just throwing it to Welker.
But you just answered the question Welker. 4 years later. I'm
no,
feeling
I know.
Like that. It's not like I thought like that immediately.
To me, this is a lot like a coach. Well, we had the player's coach, and now we want the disciplinarian, and now we have the disciplinarian, we got to get back to the player's coach.
Yeah, and I also,
so it's,
by
it's
the
a,
way...
It's a problem with Brady. If this is all true, now I don't know if it is, but if Paul and Bedard and these people are... It's a Brady problem.
Yeah, don't lump Greg
it's not
in
a receiver
me.
Problem.
Because he thinks
if
that
you
the
don't
quarterback
trust
can do
Tom
no
Brady
wrong.
To use a weapon you give him on the outside because Welker's still here, so he's always going to throw to Welker, that's a Brady problem. He's not always going to the open receiver. He's not always going to the best option. He's going to Welker. Right?
And I also don't I don't want to be characterized as running Welker out of town because that's not accurate. I don't think that I would give him a long term big money deal right now.
And 4 years, $32 million.
Yeah, that's too much for me, and that's too many years and too much money.
How much of it is guaranteed? Million? That's all I want to know.
16.
I might do it.
I would.
Yeah. See, I don't want to do that.
Good thing you never gave him that 50.
But
million.
I don't
you
want to. I don't want to run him
a year.
But I don't want to run him out of town. I mean, if I can get him at like a 2 year, like
if
the
I
Patriots
could get the
wanted,
Michael Holly deal, no. 2 years, $6 million, I'll take him.
No, your $8 million a year is fine. But I don't want it for
so
4 years.
So you want
years.
The Patriots deal,
yeah.
2 years,
yeah, but only half of it is guaranteed. So with the end, you're
so that's 3 years. I'm stuck with that. Yeah. I don't want to be that way.
I'd do it.
But you say stuck with that. I mean, you're stuck with Wes
change.
Welker. That's a good thing.
Stuck with 120 catches.
Yeah. And an early exit.
So it's a Welker's fault.
Now, and by the way, the Super Bowl and the AFC title game are now, quote, early exits. Funny, I thought when you get blown out by Baltimore in the opening round, that was an early exit.
Who was on that team?
So we start over, get rid of them all. They all suck, Fred.
Here's the commonality to me.
Brady, you want to get rid of Brady. Look.
Everybody looks at all these commonalities. The commonality to me is they don't score as much, anywhere near as much in the postseason as they do in the
sign Welker, upgrade season. Lloyd, and work on the defense.
And get rid of Brady.
That's what you do.
I believe that they will re-sign Welker. I do. But I'm not going to kill them if they don't. I know that there's,
well,
there is 100,
on what they do after.
There's 100 local columnists that are dying for the Patriots not to re-sign Welker so they could kill the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
And I will not be one of them. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm kind of with Fred.
Yeah.
Depends what they, how they go about business.
Steven writes in Tuesday's show, you asked whether Brandon Lloyd's cap figure is counted in the Pats have $25 million accounting. The answer it is. Both ESPN Boston figures and other cap resources show Lloyd counting $4.5 million against the cap in 2013. Further, if he is released, the Patriots face a $5 million
that is
dead
inaccurate.
Cap charge, meaning it costs $500,000 more in cap terms
that's
to
inaccurate.
Release him than to keep him.
That is inaccurate.
That's not true.
That is mistakenly taking into account that they gave him the bonus and then released him. They would not do that. They're not going to pay him $3 million
right.
And then cut him thereafter. They're going to cut him and eat the $2 million in dead money from his original signing bonus.
And what Andy just said is what led me to ask that question. That answer might be right. The first part of that answer might be right. It might be taking into consideration already, well, Brandon Lloyd.
I believe it does, but...
No, it does, but if you're counting him against the cap, you have to count that bonus.
The $3 million.
But if you don't...
Right.
If you cut him before right. then that goes away.
So I believe what,
so
what
do you
is
get,
counted now...
Do you get an extra $3 million in space if you don't pick
you
up that?
You get
two
and
I'm
a
asking.
Half,
yeah,
I believe.
Whatever the... Whatever
you, would save, like... But now you have to replace him, too, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
So... You don't really save anything.
Alex in Maryland, any
but
chance...
But you know the Patriots way. They could get three guys for that spot.
Any chance
yeah,
we could Kamara go after...
Aiken,
and that never works.
Any chance we can go after Eric Winston as a cheaper alternative to signing Vollmer? Also,
no.
What other Patriots could potentially be cut besides Brandon Lloyd?
Other Patriots...
Winston did get cut. Tekeil Spikes got cut.
I saw. So
yeah.
Winston got cut?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's why I didn't know, because I knew he was a free agent.
I don't believe he'll be a cheaper option. I mean, he's coming off a big deal. This is a Raiders-like move. They gave him a big contract, and he played 1 year, and they cut him. I believe he made, like, Winston. I believe he made $9 million last year, and they cut him.
Oh, wow, because he got cut by Houston.
Yeah, I believe they signed him to, like, a three-year deal for, like, $25 million with a decent bonus, and he played the 1 year and was out.
Yeah, I saw Spikes got cut today, too, but you know, he's at the end of the line.
But I think Winston, I mean, he's a good right tackle. I would say him and Vollmer are kind of in the, you know, aside from
similar
age,
players.
Are in the same boat.
Yeah.
He's probably more durable based on what we know of.
But you might be able to get him for your Holly contract at this point.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think the way the league needs tackles, I think he's going to get some money.
Yeah. How old is he?
I don't know.
Once again, Andy and Paul prepared.
You can't prepare for everybody.
I know. I didn't even know he was available.
He's a veteran tackle that in a league like the Colts and the Bears and all these teams.
Well, that's why I think if Vollmer
makes some money,
you know, when Vollmer gets out there, someone's going to give him money.
Plus, Winston is willing to take a shorter term deal probably at this point in his career for decent money. You know, a 2 year, 14, 12 something million dollar deal. Whereas Vollmer's looking to cash in. He wants this to be his contract. He's not looking to sign that deal. You know, Matt Light got 2 years, $12 million when they re-signed him a couple of years ago, something like that. That's a Winston ballpark deal, I would think. $6 million, $7 million a year is probably the ballpark he's in. I mean, that's what who's the right tackle that re-signed? The guy that Titans. He's like a $6 to $7 million tackle. That seems to be
the right guy.
Yeah, Sean Martin, David something. Whatever.
Right.
A good right tackle is in the $6 to $7 million.
The other guy's on the other side, right? Roos, Velma's buddy.
Michael Roos is their left tackle.
Right?
Sam in Chicago says, Welker has to stay. If I was Welker, I would think about my post-career endorsements. I wouldn't think that the offers I get now are my final financial swan song. One would have to think West would have a better identity, marketability for advertiser sports networks as a lifelong Patriot, and a better shot at a few more rings.
Man.
Anyway, on to the African.
I disagree with both parts of that.
This is about Eric. True or false, Eric will return from his trip with some African memento blended into his overall attire, either a copper bracelet from this or that tribe he hung with.
Yes. I'm on board, Sam.
Or a small beetle pin that he'll wear on his blazer.
Yes.
Perhaps a small tattoo on the side of his nose.
Well, then it's not small if it's on his nose.
It'll be a trap for unsuspecting women he hopes to bring into his spider hole. It'll go something like this in Eric's mind. Christy Burkery will be passing Eric in the hallway.
Hey.
See his tattoo on the side of his nose and stop him to ask, is there something different about you, Eric? Eric says, what do you mean? It's just me. Well, you carry yourself differently and your nose looks, well, really good. Oh, this thing, pointing to his nose. It's something the ancient Kalahari Bushmen give to anyone who show traits of Makahalahali. Christy says, Makahalahali, what's that? Eric chuckles to himself and shakes his head a little. In simple terms, Christy, Makahalahali is Kalahari for Westerner who kills lion with his hands but saves children with heart and has white rhino in under his tent.
That was really good. I don't know how Christy Burkery got dragged into it.
No.
But,
well,
or how
she was just
featured
on Patriots.com. That's why.
Right. Okay.
One of the best, by the way, in this building, Christy Burkery.
Good kid.
That's also one of the problems with being featured on Patriots. Now people know who you are.
Yeah.
Good kid.
Good kid.
Speaking of Eric, John and Lynn has a limerick.
He has a first one.
I can't read.
Oh, why not?
Well, did you already read this?
No.
Oh.
But I like when he takes shots at Eric's.
Well, Andy had a little gleam in his eye. I thought
the first one is a little bit too bawdy. But this one is okay. I don't want to seem all touchy-feely, but I'm glad Eric's not cat food, really. I'm glad he ain't dying for a meal as a meal for a lion and someday try sex with humans, ideally. Now, if I could read that one, you imagine what the other one was like.
I'll have to check that out later.
Yes. It was very good, though.
When are we going to get to those Andy emails?
I figured after the break we'll
after
get to
we
the
eat.
Anti-Andy. A lot of people just – there's a boycott starting.
It happens.
I mean, I expect one day to come here and on Route 1 people have signs on the side of – you know.
Don't give people ideas.
Anything to get on the nightly news. That would be good.
Yeah, remember that happened when Adam left.
Protesters lined up at Gillette Stadium.
When Adam left, there was a couple.
When Adam left.
Vinatieri.
Oh, Vinatieri.
Think we'll get a couple if Wes leaves?
No. I do not.
I think those were people saying it's his baby, right? No? Oh.
Are you thinking that?
That was the one time this show. I have no idea what he's talking about. What does that mean?
The women that were on the side of the stadium.
That Adam impregnated.
I don't get it. What are we talking
about? Inference.
Never mind. Alex in Philly. Paul.
You, yes, Alex.
You can have my Jags of all trades line. Just have your people contact my people about compensation.
Interesting. I have people now.
Forget free agency. Forget the draft. It's not officially the offseason until PFW starts taking hermaphrodites. PFW is the only radio show where you can talk football, religion, sexuality, death, and still discuss the many ways Eric can either be maimed or raped in Africa and actually have a philosophical argument on what a good story that would or wouldn't be all in 2 hours.
You guys, tune in tomorrow.
You guys truly aim to please. Anyway, in my perfect offseason, we keep Tlaib and Welker, sign Asamoah or another starting caliber corner, and a capable right tackle for all under $1 million. And draft in this order. Edge rusher, wide receiver, safety with our first three picks. Since that's impossible, my question to you guys is, who is the best edge rusher in this draft? Even though I have faith that Chandler Jones will take the next step in safety corner and wide receiver are also big needs, especially if we let Welker and Tlaib walk. This team's biggest need is pass rush. It has been for a long time, and I haven't really heard of this top guy people are falling in love with at the position. Are there any guys that we can realistically get at 29 that you would go after? Lastly, glad to see that fraud Tim Tebow following in the footsteps of another first-round draft bust QBs by slowly inching his way out of the league. At least he'll have more time to feed the homeless soon. Who is the guy pass rush? I mean, everyone's looking next year for Clowney. But who is it this year? I mean, is there a guy?
Well, the premier pass rusher is probably Jones, right? In terms of proven. But there's a lot of projection.
There's
guys.
A couple. The number one guy to me is the guy from BYU that we talked about on Thursday, Ziggy Ansah. But there's a huge risk-reward there. I mean, he hasn't played a lot of football. He literally tried out for football at BYU. He had never played. But that's how athletic he is. A lot of comparisons to JPP. I like my guy Deion Jordan that Andy makes fun of me about. Ironically, the best pass rusher to me is the guy who had the least amount of sacks in college. But Deion Jordan is a really good athlete who plays on the edge for Oregon, really fast. Small, though. Different kind of player. Kind of like Bruce Irvin. I don't think he's the prototypical guy you would think of when you look at pass rushers. But those are a couple of guys I like.
Okay.
Jones, certainly, getting highly regarded at the top.
Let's see. Mark and Chatham has a defensive tackle value question. I'm wondering what you guys think the real value is in today's NFL for top or even middle-tier defensive tackle. Given that it's a passing-dominated league, it would appear that most teams are moving towards a speed front where they insert as many defensive ends into their D-line to outspeed rather than outpower their opponent's O-line. A lot of mock drafts have the Pats taking a defensive tackle with the first pick, but if their value is diminishing, wouldn't it make more sense to take on another quick and tall defensive end like we did with Jones last year? I don't think that Deion Jordan would be available when we pick, but maybe a Marcus Hunt or an athletic prospect might still be available. Love the show. Thanks for giving us fans something forward to look forward to in the offseason. P.S., I think you guys need to take it a bit easier on Eric. There's no way he's as bad a person as you guys make him out to be.
You don't know him.
What about that Marcus guy?
That's your guy.
Yeah.
Eastern Bloc.
I'm thinking to myself, there's a really good philosophical question in there that we could talk about. Is defensive tackle sort of going the way of fullback? And what does Fred focus on? His boy Margus, that he can't stop drooling over.
Well, I love him.
I mean, I'm on the record. I wouldn't assign Wilfork. I think it's been over. I mean, what's he make? $7 million?
I think that you can't. I think once you don't have that guy, you miss him. I think there's something to be said about that dependability, and you don't have to worry about the middle.
But
like
Fred,
that.
The difference is, can you get that guy for cheaper? Are there enough of those guys?
I don't think so.
Whereas there are only so many guys that make plays on the edge. Edge rushers, impact guys off the edge. I think there are more defensive tackles who are capable.
No doubt. The guys on the edge make more money. The good guys on the edge make more.
Well, Wilfork's making $7 million a year.
Yeah, but he's the best. He's one of the best at
his
position.
He's one of the best.
Yeah.
But do you get the value out of it? If I only play, Kyle Love and another guy who I draft in the second or third, say Ron Brace had worked out, and I had Ron Brace and Kyle Love in there,
Yeah.
And had that seven, or just Dedrick in Love. And then I had a great guy on the outside. Is that better than having Will Fork in the inside? But guess what?
See,
I play Trevor Scott on the outside.
More so than the league simply becoming a passing league. I think if more and more quarterbacks are like the Colin Kaepernick type, pistol
Kaepernick
offense,
too.
Mobile, that might really devalue that middle guy, because then it's not about pushing the pocket and giving that guy less room in the pocket, because the whole backfield is pocket.
But defensive tackles don't push the pocket.
Not
as a
really.
Rule, most of them don't. There's a couple that do. Vince doesn't.
And when they do it, they're guys. They don't get paid $45, $55 million like Vince does.
Yeah.
You
know, right?
It's like get Red Bryant. What did Red Bryant make last year? Was he franchised?
Way too much money. No, they signed him. Because
what
guy,
did he get?
I forget, but he got a lot of money.
He got Will Fork money?
Yeah.
Oh.
But, you know, to Andy's point, and I forget who, was it Tannenbaum that recently said something like, you know, for all the talk about the passing, you know, it's still defense. It starts with stopping the run. If you can't stop the run, I don't agree with that. I think that running the ball and stopping the run that used to be the, you know, the number one things for everybody, I think are so overrated now. I don't think you have to be great at either one of those things.
But I think if a team sees that we can run on these guys, they're going to choose
then
that.
Then run, and you keep the score down, and you keep the clock running, and you're in the game. Go ahead. Run. That's what I say. And that's why I think that the Patriots needed to improve their situational running from recent years. And I think they did that a little bit this year. But I never got caught up in the whole production of the running game thing the way other people did, because I think it's still you need to score points to win. And, we're even now, we're still getting emails referencing Baltimore. You know, the old adage, defense wins championship, was proven right again. Well, to me, it wasn't. Because Baltimore won a championship by scoring more than the other teams. They scored 38, 28, and 34 to win their last three games. That's what they won their Super Bowl on, offense. The difference between this year's Baltimore Ravens and the past was their offense was good. And it hasn't been that way for them, really, forever. You go back to that Steve McNair year. What was that, 06, when they won 13 games? They never have an offense that can supplement their defense. This year, their offense was better than the defense.
Hey, Kevin, who was lunch brought to us by?
Mr. Warren Ladd.
Oh, Warren Ladd. Thank you very much.
Warren Ladd.
I believe he's celebrating his birthday.
Oh, really? Well, happy birthday out to Warren Ladd in jolly old England.
I believe he's over the hill, and he's turning 30.
Wow. So, but thank you for lunch. Much appreciated on this cold, wintry day, Gillette Stadium. All
very
right.
Much appreciated.
We're
going to
take
Autumn
a break, and we'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Take offense at it.
Did you listen?
I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Thanks again, Warren Ladd, for lunch. Much appreciated. And we're talking a lot of Wes Welker and offensive philosophy, free agency, a little bit of draft. Not much yet, though. We haven't got our videos yet, have we?
Yes, we have.
Oh, we did?
I watched all the quarterbacks yesterday, and I'm halfway through the running backs today.
When do we get them?
I don't know. Last week? I'm doing it down in KSP this year.
Oh, okay.
They were just made available yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Big, massive screen. It's really helping things out this year. I like it. In one of their edit bays. Yeah, I'm well into the process.
Good. Harry in Maryland writes in, near the end of the season, the Jets looked terrible, but real football events were more important at the time. I could use a good 10 minutes of Jets bashing. We all know that Sanchez-Tebow issues, and now they're shopping Revis. What else makes the Jets a bad football team? Well, it starts at the top.
Sanchez.
Well, they got an owner who's really kind of clueless when it comes to running
the team.
Wears
a hat all the time.
You know, and I think Rex Ryan is a good defensive coach, but I'm not sure, you know, he's good at guiding a program. And then it trickles down from there. New York media, the pressures of being in New York. always feeling like they're second fiddle to the Giants and feeling like they have to, you know, show them something. And then they just have bad players. So it's just really bad all the way around. They did get rid of one of the problems, which was their GM in Tannenbaum. So, I mean, I don't know the guy replacing him if he's any good, but they had to do that, and they finally did. So that is a step in the right direction. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I think they have a lot of problems. I mean, the biggest problem is the quarterback, but they've overpaid a lot of guys over the years that I don't think were worth it. You know, I was never a big Santonio Holmes that, like, he's our marquee receiver. They were big on we need X, so we're just going to go get the best available X, even if it's not really the best solution or, you know, long-term the best solution. You know, their running back petered out after a hot start to his career. So, I mean, they have issues across the, you know, Calvin Pace, they've just released. Yep. I think they overpaid him, and that was a while ago. But, I mean, they've always what are they right now? And that's why the one question, I don't have any problem with them trading Revis. If you're not going to re-sign him, and everybody says your guy, Woody Johnson, doesn't want to re-sign him and invest in him. But then, like, to me, he's the only thing close to an identity the Jets have. They have the best corner in football. They can take away your receiver every week with Darrell Revis. Other than that, what's their identity? Like, you know, their coach, I guess, would be their identity. You don't have a quarterback. You're not a running team. You don't have, like, big play receivers. You don't have... What are you? What are you built around?
It just seems to me that there has to be so much more behind the scenes when it comes to Revis, because he's clearly, you know, forget about his injury, but he's clearly the best cornerback in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no one even close, I don't think.
And he comes back from the injury,
right.
Yes.
But, you know, so when you have a guy like that, I mean, I would think that there's no way you get rid of him.
I wouldn't. It's kind of like when we talked about Brady. Like, when does this really work out? Okay, you have the Dallas Cowboys. They traded Herschel Walker, and they built a dynasty off of it. But when does it really work where, you know, a star is unloaded, you get the draft picks or whatever, and it's the way you build your franchise? I mean, are there a lot of examples? Because I don't think of a lot of them. But if you're not going to sign him, I'm all for it. Don't just let him walk away then. If you're dead set, you're not going to give him what he wants in terms of money, then... Get something for it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. You know, but like I said, he must be a real pain in the ass, you know.
Could be.
And they just had it with him.
Maybe he had a falling out with Ryan's wife, and they don't, you know, they don't canoodle very well anymore.
He's so damn good. He really is. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable how he can just attach himself to a receiver and contest every ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't break up every pass. Of course not. But he's right there on every ball. You know,
and he looks even better because of what we've dealt with for
well,
3 years.
But he really is.
No, he's the best, yeah. Far and away. I mean, he's the easiest. He's kind of the modern day Jerry Rice. I think every other position you can kind of argue. I don't think anyone's really, aside from Richard Sherman, is willing to argue that Revis is the best corner in football.
Right. Andy, I think this is lending some validity to your blog post about a week ago about Revis. You know, that New York Daily News story that said that he could come to the New England.
Yeah.
I think the way that Fred, there's clearly something behind the scenes there.
Ripping him. He's a Jet who is not terrible.
When I see greatness, I say it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the Jets' downfall is poor decisions all around, but none more so than investing in Mark Sanchez. Again, I mean, okay, you drafted him. No problem. There's a lot of guys that miss on first-round draft picks, quarterbacks. You know, no shame there. You thought he was going to be this guy that you could sort of win with if you put the pieces around him, and then he would get better. And then they invested in him as if he had gotten better, and he didn't.
Right.
You know, he sort of, you know, he plateaued, and he's just a very average, inconsistent player. You can't win. You can't win big with an average, inconsistent quarterback. And I don't disagree with anything that Andy and Fred said about the Jets personnel, but I think this would be a very good football team if it had a very good quarterback, and it doesn't.
Jin writes in, why do the Patriots need to do anything different on offense this year? You can argue that if Gronk had been healthy the past 2 years, they win those games. Hopefully this year Gronk can't stay healthy when it counts. I say you re-sign Welker and look for an outside receiver in the draft. I understand that the Patriots have been terrible in developing wide receivers, but you have to trust your scouts and hope for the best. Spend the rest on the cap on defense, pass rusher, cornerback, and safety. So, That seems to be the consensus, right? Upgrade up wide receiver a little bit and get a safety, pass rusher, and cornerback.
Sure. I mean, you know how I feel about Gronk. Unlike you, I thought he made a difference being injured in that last game.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Assad in Baltimore. Guys, hope everyone's doing okay. I was wondering if you thought it might be better to draft a receiver as opposed to signing one in free agency. I think it might be too costly to get an outside threat in free agency. What do Paul and Andy think about Keenan Allen? I feel like we need a deep threat that can also run intermediate routes because Brady isn't the best at the long ball anymore. And by the way, I remember emailing you guys in December about getting an outside threat such as Bo or Wallace or letting McDaniels draft an outside guy because he had success in Denver. I predicted a terrible offensive performance was coming in the playoffs, and Fred laughed me off the radio. So PFW Fred, check. thanks, guys. I'm listening to you at the gym, and you're making the run more bearable. So,
interesting. He was all over you. I don't remember that email.
So I was the only one that
but I can
picture thought they
were
going to score points in the playoffs?
Well,
okay. I guess I was wrong.
Probably the only one that laughed about it. The possibility that they would be held down a little bit
to 13
playoffs.
Points. Okay.
You know how like he just like he takes a fact and he mocks it.
Right.
Like they didn't really only score 13 points. Like
but
they didn't really only score.
I was the only one that was surprised.
They really didn't
only
score 17 against the Giants in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
They didn't really only get 23 against the Ravens
that.
The last time.
Everyone else expected that.
No, but did you laugh at it? Did everybody else laugh at the notion? Or did everybody else see, well, geez, it's happened four out of the last six playoff games.
Were you surprised?
It could happen again.
This
year? I was
year?
Very surprised.
Okay.
But I would have been just as surprised to see them score 38. You wouldn't have been.
No.
That's what you were expecting.
No, I was.
That's
I,
the difference.
Think,
that's why
I
you
think
laughed
the
at the
score
guy.
Was, you know, like low 30s I had them at or something like that.
I thought that they would struggle to get there. I thought that it would be a higher scoring game. Yes, you asked me if I was surprised they scored 13. I was surprised.
The listener shouldn't be offended. That's what you do. I mean, you assume they're going to be great no matter what.
He laughs at me and Andy
hurt,
all the time.
You said, what do you have, four touchdowns?
Right.
When Gronk got hurt, I said, does it make a difference? And you said no. So it's what you do.
No, I recall saying, well, at least this time they've been able to prepare for it. That's what I said about Gronk.
And you said it wasn't a big loss. And now everybody is agreeing with me and saying, the last guy's got him winning two Super Bowls in a row if Gronk never got hurt.
Probably.
But it doesn't matter.
Jason in Wisconsin.
Does it matter or does it not matter?
Jason in Wisconsin. Got a couple of items I'd like to throw at you, and since we're in the off season, it's a mix of items. Thanks, as always, for the information and the entertainment. With the log jam at tight end and everyone looking to move Hernandez, how come nobody is looking the other direction? Do you think Bill will look to move Hooman? I could say his real name easier. And Fells for late round draft picks. Trading them.
That wouldn't stun me. Wouldn't stun me at all. I think there's a chance he's going to look to move some veterans to get a couple picks. That actually wouldn't stun me.
I mean, Hooman's a restricted free agent, but that doesn't preclude him from being able to be traded. That's how we got Welker.
That'd be interesting. Ballard, trade him back to the Giants. He wants to be a Giant. They want him. Trade him back to him and say, ah, you idiot. Learn how to use the rules next time.
I think that would be hilarious.
Fred, if you're as frustrated with Brandon Lloyd as you are, why not throw your weight around, wait for Andy's comment about how much weight he has to throw around, and get him into the studio for the PFW Progress Kiss of Death?
Yeah, we don't need him in here.
Yeah. That.
We've never had an awkward interview in here, I will say. That's one of our strengths. Usually when guys are in here, they seem to enjoy it.
I don't know. When Lindsay Petrucci was here, that was kind of...
No, I mean with players. They've always seemed to open up. You know, we've had a good string of interviews in here. I don't want to ruin that string.
Okay. Harry writes in. He says, for the African queen in her court. Boy, he's going to hate us.
You know you made this up, right? So this is all on you.
The African queen?
Yes.
I didn't make that up.
Oh,
called
that
him.
Was mine. I thought you made it up.
No, I made up.
I made it up at the combine. Remember,
I said he's out in Africa.
Oh, that's right. That's much better. I just think it's great that I didn't have a part in it this time.
No, you've been completely professional all along.
I didn't call him an African queen.
No, you just tweeted out that Don't worry, Eric's safe. The only way you get eaten by a lion is if you're having sex.
Safest man in Africa.
I'm sure he'll have no problem with that.
Harry says, Wes Welker has more receptions in the last 7 years than any other NFL receiver has ever caught in a seven-year period. With three more years of similar results, he will rank second or third all-time in career receptions, depending on how much longer Tony Gonzalez plays. Of course, Jerry Rice is first. Is Wes Welker a Hall of Fame player? He has never been considered a number one receiver, has never caught 10 or more touchdowns in a season. He will be as well known for a drop pass in the Super Bowl than any other single reception. Will Wes Welker be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Based on the part that Fred doesn't have him in the Patriots Hall of Fame, I'm going to say no. Literally, if there's any doubt he's a team Hall of Famer, then there's no way in hell he can be a Pro Football Hall of Famer, right?
No, that's not true. Bill Parcells is a Hall of Famer, and he may not get into the Patriots Hall
of Famer. But he's going into some team's Hall of Fame.
Randy Moss will be a Hall of Famer, and he won't go into the Patriots
Hall of Fame. But he's going into some team's Hall of Fame.
You know?
And the difference between Welker has done all his great work here.
Not a Patriots Hall of Famer, a team's Hall of Famer.
And if Welker goes in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, it'll be based on what he did as a Patriot, because that's all we have right now.
Right.
And you're saying he's not worthy of the Patriots Hall of Fame.
You're a maddening user of semantics.
If he had three more years of the same, absolutely. I think he might make both.
Wait, yeah. He needs three more 100-catch seasons to get in this Hall of Fame?
And a Super Bowl.
The ultimate team game, and only
dink.
The ultimate team game. When you're an individual, you have to have a Super Bowl. It's it makes perfect sense.
Well, the Super Bowl is the ultimate team goal, so you get there as a team.
But yet you have Randy Moss in the Hall of Fame,
not the Patriots.
Oh, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Well, he's otherworldly. Yes, I think Wes Welker gets to the Hall of Fame.
The Pro Football Hall of
Fame? Pro Football Hall of Fame.
But not the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Both, if he has three more years of the same production, absolutely.
Same production, so he can
with or without a Super Bowl.
Wait. He continues to catch 100 balls, but it's not a lot of touchdowns, right. Not a lot of yards.
Yeah.
What if he does that in Denver?
You don't think he will, really?
What if he does that in Denver? Does he get
second or third all-time in receptions and he doesn't get into the Hall of Fame?
I don't have a vote, so it doesn't matter, but not if I was voting.
Really?
I also don't have the guy who has the second most carries as a running back in the Hall of Fame
either.
Well,
carries is nothing.
Carries is receptions.
It's the results.
Yards count to me.
No.
We count yards and plays. No. I mean, if he had a million touchdowns, that would count.
To
me,
have carries and catches.
To you, it's not. To me, it is.
Because when I throw it to Edelman or to Hernandez, they don't always catch it. Welker, for the most part, does. Like, that's a difference.
But statistically, he's on line with anybody else.
Who?
In terms of his drops.
No, Hernandez led the league, had like 10% more drops.
But
than
he
Welker
had he was
year.
In the top five in drops percentage.
Hernandez was well ahead of him.
Okay, so I don't want Hernandez in my Hall of Fame either.
But to me, it's not the same. A carry is actually you hand it to the guy. There's no skill involved in the guy's part.
Well, I think there's minimal skill involved in most of his catches. Most of his catches.
Yeah, then we should let Welker go. If there's no skill involved
right.
in his catches,
then we can get anybody to do it.
Yeah, I mean, then he's a dime a dozen loose change.
I don't think you can get anybody to catch 120 passes. I think you can get anybody to fill the role that you need. That's what I think. It's not the. I don't need one guy.
The role is to catch 120 passes.
No.
I don't understand.
No, Troy Brown to me filled that role every bit as well as Welker did. He never caught 120 passes. He caught 100 passes once.
Did he have the same role?
Yeah. No.
I think the
offense. I mean, he was a
offense,
slot receiver, but
I think Troy Brown would have had 500 catch seasons in this era.
It
was a different era.
That's kind of what I'm saying. If they threw the ball 100 more times then, like they do now, a year, he would have caught more passes.
But I don't think Troy Brown was a
Jack. And Troy Brown's not a Hall of Fame guy. No,
wait a minute. Wait. There's a difference between being a Hall of Famer and there's no skill involved with the job you do. Like,
I didn't say there's no skill.
Well, how did you just phrase it? I mean, you basically said anybody can go out. What was the phrase?
I said there's minimal skill involved in most of the catches that he has.
Anybody should be able to go out there and do it.
Yeah, and I think you see anybody in the NFL be able to go out there and catch the ball.
They should move on from him. I mean, if that's literally how you feel, and if they have any type of, then he's useless. He's just a guy.
Again, why is that what I said make him useless?
Because he's an X, and you fill him with a Y, and he'll do the same job.
Well, he's not useless, but he may not be worth.
No,
nine
to me,
years.
He says there's
he's
no
not a
skill
Hall of Famer.
Involved. So
I mean,
basically,
like,
anyone you
so
put
if
out
I don't
there
think
do
I don't
it.
Think he's a Hall of Famer, so that means the converse of that is useless.
No,
I don't think
just
he's useless.
Said there's no skill involved, so just put
I didn't
anybody
say there's
out
no
there.
Skill
there's
involved.
Minimal skill in some Sorry. Of the
most. You said there's no skill involved in getting a handoff, and I said there's minimal skill catching the ball 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage.
So you think anybody can do it, basically?
See, I don't,
anybody can catch a ball if I throw it from 5 yards
but
away?
Paul,
yes.
You're taking yeah. out is also getting open,
right.
running the route. There's a lot more skill involved.
I didn't say he was a stiff. I just don't think he's a Hall of Famer. That's all.
No, but I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing the minimal skill part. Like now we're saying
I think he
he's
has
just
minimal
like
skills.
A bottom of the roster guy.
I think he is. He's not a bottom of the roster guy.
Brady goes to
what
him because
minimal
he gets
skill
open.
Mean?
Getting open is a skill in this league.
Yes.
It's hard. It's hard to get open.
And getting open and being able to catch the ball.
And
like,
then catch.
I would compare him to Edelman. I've seen Edelman struggle in this minimal skill role a lot.
Yeah,
and Hernandez too.
I think you're undervaluing his skill.
Maybe I am, but I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. That's all.
That's
I don't have him at the okay. I don't have him at the bottom of the rot. No, it's not two things. That's what I said at the beginning, and you said that he's just useless.
Well,
that I said
to
he's
me,
useless.
Minimal
that's
skill
not what I
eliminates.
Said.
We don't even need to talk okay. about Hall of
I
Fame.
I said
if he's
the
a
act of the
skill.
Catch.
His catch.
The actual catch that
his
he
catches.
Makes is minimal skill involved in that.
Yeah, that's where
if
I
if you want to talk about getting open and all that, that's different. That's a different skill.
But that's part of the catch. The catch
No, it's not part of the catch.
Well,
the
it's part
act
of being
catch.
A receiver.
You're taking away the running backs of, you know, you don't care about this amount of carries because you said there's no skill in being able to carry the ball.
Right.
I agree. There's minimal skill in catching the ball the way he catches
agree.
It.
Yeah.
That's
so
all I'm saying. I don't care
anymore.
If you don't agree. It doesn't matter.
You don't have to yell at me and get all pissy.
But don't make it out to be that I said he's a bottom of the roster useless
to me,
player.
That's what minimal
that's what you're
skill
saying,
means.
And that's not what I'm saying. The act of the catch is something that anybody in the NFL, in my opinion, could do.
Wow. There's a lot of receivers that wish
that's
they could
do it.
That's
not the same thing as saying he's useless.
There's a lot of receivers that wish they could do it.
He makes other plays that other guys don't make.
I do think, though.
He avoids contact. He's durable. That's where his value is. Not everybody can do those things. That's why I don't think
so
he's useless.
So everybody can catch like he does?
Yes.
Wow.
Everybody has the same level of hands that he does, if not better. That's what I'm saying.
Be that
and if
as
you don't think that, then I don't. I mean, that's
we'll
fine.
We'll just have to agree to disagree.
Be
there.
That as it may.
You think that he has better hands than most?
I don't know.
Oh,
if
yeah.
I don't
think he
than
does.
Most, I
do.
Think he has good hands.
He has good hands. Wide receivers in general have good hands.
Yeah, I don't agree. Okay, then yes, he. Has, if you think
that's
they're all
I'm saying,
like, he has better than most.
But that doesn't make him
guidelines.
Useless.
But
minimal
see,
skill.
As tough as
to
I
to make the catch, Andy. It's
that's
one particular element
of his job. No, it's half his job.
That's
get
right.
open and catch the football.
Do you think the degree of difficulty
into our heads by Bill?
Do you think
every
the degree
year.
Of difficulty on his average catch is high?
Some yes.
I said his average catch.
Then yes.
Okay. Then I don't. So that's
the
only thing we disagree on.
When you
on.
Get open and you're 5 yards away from Brady and he throws it hard and you have to catch it with this guy coming at you in a linebacker,
I don't
think that's
he has
hard.
A lot of those.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
I think the majority of his catches he's in the clear and making the catch, easy pitch and catch.
Yeah. I'm
that's what I feel. You disagree. That's okay.
I think
we don't have to agree on everything. That's
I think
fine.
He makes his money where it's very rarely
but don't,
clear.
Don't say that I want him out of the league, and I think he's a
I'm
bottom of the
using
roster.
Your words. You
stiff.
Say he has minimal skill.
Never use the word bottom of the roster. Never use the
well,
word
I,
useless.
No, I
those
use
are
that.
The words you use
because I believe people that have minimal skill are near the bottom of the roster.
That's what you believe. So don't say that
okay,
I believe.
Okay, so you put guys with minimal skill at the top of your roster, so you have a bad team. I don't know what to tell you.
That's fine. Again, you can continue to say that that's what I said. That's
okay.
not what I said,
okay.
but that's fine. You can be right.
Okay.
I didn't say that. What I said was the act of the actual physical catch that he makes, the majority of receivers would make just as often.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
all I said. You have me now extrapolating that as to be he's useless. I am not saying
well,
that.
You've basically said that over the years.
In that case, though,
the
Brandon Lloyd should be in the Hall of Fame because all his catches are acrobatic.
I think that
right.
he... What, wait a minute. Now, that's very Andy-like what you just did.
I'm only kidding, Paul. But I do think
easy,
that
but he's
yeah,
ready to snap.
If you want to go back to the whole thing, I think Wes Welker is a highly overrated player.
Oh.
Yes. If that's what you're getting at, yes.
But as hard as I am with these Hall of Fame people in the Hall of
and,
Fame.
And after all of that, he's absolutely in my Patriots Hall of Fame.
Right.
Fred doesn't have him there.
Right.
So what Fred
well,
thinks
that's
of him,
just ridiculous.
What Fred thinks of him compared to what I think of him is beyond belief.
But
we
I
know
do,
what Fred thinks. What do you have, four touchdowns?
But I do think that
well, I mean,
if
I think
he had another 3 years
of
100-plus catches and close to 1,000 or more 1,000 yards, I think he is eligible for the Pro Football. Not just
well, he's eligible.
I mean,
is
no, I
in?
Think he is a
say yes or no.
serious contender. And
no,
I say yes.
No. Yes, okay.
I say yes.
So, but he needs three more.
Yeah,
not
I think
two.
In his era, which is
what about two in a Super Bowl?
And they told is how they tell us to do this thing when you're judging these Hall of Famers. How did he compare to his peers in his era?
Well,
and I think that when you
him
lead
and Brandon
the league,
Marshall neck and neck,
when you're like in the
and
top
Brandon
three
Marshall's
every
a wildly
year
overrated
for seven
player.
Years,
as a wide receiver in terms of yards
durability.
And catches. Well, whatever it is, it's almost durability
no.
in the NFL.
Keep yards out. Just go by catches. That's what he dominates in, is catches. And he doesn't really dominate.
But he's also way up there in yards, too.
Well, not really.
No, he's not.
I mean, yes, he's in the top 10, but because he has 20 more catches than everybody.
Yeah, average per catch, he's like in the 40s.
If he wasn't in the top in yards, he'd be horrific with 120 catches and like 800 yards.
I just think 7 years of that type of production, you know, even in this era, you know, he's like up there. And I think you have to look at this era and say, wow, he dominated. He was great.
You see, I don't look at him as a dominant player at all. Tom Brady's a dominant player.
He's never done. If you put him in the Hall of Fame, you put him in for durability. You put him in for the kind of the whole.
Well, I don't think he gets these numbers without durability.
You're putting him in strictly for statistics. You're putting him in for volume.
Well, no, I think
receptions. You're putting him in for receptions. That's all.
No, see, I think the anecdotal gets him in too. That thing we joke about. What I said earlier. You know, taking a big hit, almost getting knocked out. And then two plays later, when they need a third down, you're the guy who catches it. Like that peeling himself off the ground image.
You know, at 5'9", you don't get those numbers unless you have that durability.
And it matters. This stuff matters.
And I don't even know if he's 5'9". He may not even be that tall.
Like in baseball, this wouldn't matter. This whole he peeled himself off and he always got... It matters in football because they sit in a room and Ron Borges gets up there and tries to bully someone into, well, if you don't think that's right, that's ridiculous. You're an idiot. You didn't watch him. I mean, there's a give and take there.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I'd be called an idiot a lot in that room.
I think so, too.
I'm just not wowed by receptions. That's all.
You've never been consistent. I know you are. I know you are.
Like, I'll give
you
an example.
He's not always consistent. He gave $55 million 2 years ago.
I think
after the 99-yard touchdown.
When you're getting 10-plus catches in a game,
I think it was after the Buffalo
there's
game.
There's more to that than just
pitch. He was the only one that showed
catch.
Up in the Buffalo game. He had the one-handed catch on fourth down.
Maybe.
That was the game that I got a little weak in the knees about him.
Gave him $55 million, he would have regretted if he was a real GM.
Oh, no question. I would have. Now that Andy Hart, is an accurate portrayal of me. I would have regretted that immediately. I would have had buyer's remorse right away.
Webradio@patriots.com.
You know, back to your receptions thing?
Yes.
Do you remember the year, it was probably when you started doing the paper, Freddie, when Bledsoe, they had like five guys that caught 50 or more passes. Everybody made a big deal out of it. Who the F cares? Like, you had five different guys with 50 who cares? Like, the number of receptions that you end up getting. Like, how many plays did Leroy Thompson make with 50 whatever catches? And your boy, Kevin Turner.
He's got a game named after him. Do I need to remind you?
Pretty soon he's going to have a disease named after him.
Oh, that is not nice. You're hellbound.
Oh, please. In this room, I would be well down on the list.
In this room, I'm pretty sure it's safe to say we can all spend time together in eternity in hell because we're all going. It's all equal.
Well, I won't know anyone in heaven. All my friends are downstairs.
Downstairs. All of a sudden, you turn into a mafia boss.
Colin in Belgium writes in, you know, I may be alone right now, but I'm pretty optimistic about the defense next year. I think it's perfectly reasonable that both Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower will improve next year, and they were both pretty good last year, especially Jones. Good chance Spikes and McCurdy will be better, too. And I don't think there's any reason for Wilfork or Mayo to drop off. We should have a pretty good front seven. I think if we can get one improvement in the secondary, one draft pick free agent better than the guys we had last year, we'll be okay. If we can get two improvements, we'll be top 10. What do you think? Am I crazy?
No. That's what I said earlier.
If all that happens, then you're not crazy.
It's what I said when everybody said they're going to have this 2007 likes. Well, you don't necessarily need that. If you've hit on what you think you've hit on, Hightower, Jones, Dennard, if he's not in prison. I mean, you have a chance to make a year two jump as a team, as a unit.
I was thinking in terms of year two jumps between Chandler and Hightower, I'm beginning to think Hightower is going to have the bigger one. Jump, that is,
it's
Andy.
Unbelievable.
Why do you say that?
I just think there's more to his game. He's more. There's more.
That's the trap I fell into last year when I picked him as my defensive rookie.
No, you're right. You're right. But
I agree with you because I bought into that, but now we need to see it.
I think Jones, he's played the run all way, but, you know, he's a pass rusher. That's what you want him to do.
Oh, he played the run pretty well.
Yeah, he did. But I think with Hightower, there's a lot of elements to his game that, you know, we hope to see and that we were told.
Is he what Paul's friend said? Jag of all trades?
And, yeah, could be. But I think overall he makes the bigger jump.
Yeah, I might just be like
with some sophistication
bitter.
And some added knowledge of the system. Could he be a better option in coverage than he was last year? No, you don't think he's fast enough?
No.
See, you know, the other part of that email, you know, I don't think it's realistic to expect a big jump from Spikes. I think Spikes is sort of ascended to a level that he is. Good run-stuffing player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he is.
But didn't
McCourty,
they have a pretty good front seven last year? I mean,
yeah, well, this is part of what I'm getting at. I mean, unless you're going to get, and you mentioned this, I think, a couple of weeks ago on the show, Andy, you know, what happens if, like, Chandler Jones has the J.J. Watt jump?
Right.
Well, okay. Well, now you're talking
about
a significant improvement.
That doesn't sound good. Oh, wait, great. We're going to New York,
New Jersey. Yeah.
But now you're talking, you know, significant jump in play. You know, I think Spikes kind of is what he is. McCourty sort of is what he is. You say, can we get two guys in the secondary better than what we had? Well, you might have to replace at least two, maybe all three of Tlaib,
Dennard,
Arrington, and Dennard, depending on Dennard's situation. But you have a good chance to have to replace the other two. So now you're asking to get three guys to come in and play at a higher level than all three of those guys in order to improve.
It's tough.
Hightower, I think, will be a better player next year in the year two jump, as Andy makes fun of me all the time. I think he will be better. But I also agree with Andy. I think the front seven was okay last year.
The pass rush would be the impact area. If they can suddenly, if Jones takes the Watt, or if they bring in somebody else, or if your guy, if Hightower becomes more active for us as a pass rusher, which we saw little blips
just
of
a little bit
last year,
he seemed to be better when the guy gets out of the pocket.
Hey, don't sleep on Jake Beckett.
That'd be a great story. Yeah. You know, speaking of good stories, like if he was totally inactive year one, and then year two was like a 12 sack.
Oh, it's not really a good story. Oh, I get it.
There's all kinds of good stories. Some good stories are actually about good things, but some good stories are about bad things.
Yemi from Texas says, Paul, you should be ashamed of yourself for saying there's no skill in Welker catching passes. That is the most asinine thing ever said on this show.
Not even close.
We all see how Edelman struggles catching the ball in Welker's role. Lloyd struggled catching the ball last season.
I haven't really seen that.
Paul, swallow your pride and admit you were wrong.
What
you said was flat out stupid. You cannot catch 100 balls a year without at least average skill. If it was that easy, a lot of players would be doing it.
See what you did?
What did I do?
I said he didn't. Now I said he didn't have at least average skill. I said that.
You
I said
he
he's a below average. I said he's a below average player.
No, you said he was a below average.
Well, he
catcher.
Just said that. I didn't say. No,
no
I did
you
not.
Said there was lack skill, or what did you
I
say?
Said there's not a lot of skill involved in most of the catches he makes. That's what
that's,
I said.
I think there's skill.
That doesn't mean he's a below average player.
I think
which
there's
is
skill
what he
involved
just
with catching.
That's
passes.
What you said. This is your
I
fault.
I didn't do anything.
Just because you disagreed
just because your
with me,
mouth writes checks that your brain can't cash.
No,
I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean? How does that happen?
I'm not backing away from my opinion.
No, you think he
but
stinks.
Just because you disagree with me doesn't mean that I said he's a below average player.
No, you said there's no
I
skill
said there's not
he
a
does.
There's not a tremendous amount of skill involved in the catches that he makes.
Right.
Like I look at a guy like Calvin Johnson and to me there's a high degree of skill involved in a lot of the catches that he makes. I don't think the same way of Wes Welker, that's all.
Right.
Doesn't mean I think he's a stiff. Doesn't mean I think he's a bottom of the roster player as you deemed him.
It's okay to not like a guy that's good. That everybody else thinks is good. That's fine.
I don't have any problem with that.
Like,
you know,
I feel
I've
like
never...
I'm going down that road with Hernandez where everybody thinks he's, you know, they got those two special tight ends up in. No, they don't.
Let's
they
put it this way. Let's put it this
I feel
way.
Like I'm going down that road.
To use that analogy, you think less of Hernandez than I think of Welker. And I don't think
right
you're
now, yes.
And I don't think you're wrong.
He can
I'm not
win
here
me back.
To tell you that you're wrong.
He can win me back.
I think more of Hernandez than you do, but you think less of Hernandez than I think of Welker.
He had a terrible year.
I think more of both of them than both of you.
And do you think Hernandez is a bottom of the roster guy? No.
No.
You're just down on him.
But he could go in that direction.
No, bottom of the roster player? You think he's going to be like the third or fourth
I
tight end next year?
Brandon Lloyd.
I understand what you're saying about Hernandez, but I think you know, to just say he had a terrible season.
He
I don't
did.
Think that's
no,
right.
I think he had a terrible
See,
year.
See, I think he had a bad year.
By the standards that we hope, yes.
No.
But
by standards of catching the ball when it was thrown to him, he had a bad year.
To me, sometimes there's not a huge jump from top of the roster to bottom. Like, Brandon Lloyd was a top of the roster guy last year because they threw him so many passes. He's going to fall off the roster. Like, part of being top of the roster is opportunity. Patrick Chung was a top of the roster guy, you know, 12, 15, who's now going to be off the roster because they realized he wasn't that good and we're not going to give him the opportunity to not be good anymore. I think you can have a fall from top of the roster to bottom.
When you watch Hernandez, can't you see it that he is good?
Sometimes.
You know?
I agree. On the practice field, when no one's hitting him and everything's easy and it's sunny
No. In games,
it's easy. Yeah. Sometimes I think it's easy, yeah. And then other times I think he sphincters up.
Okay, well, we got to get rid of those times. But I think that the potential's there. You can see it.
He's going to be a year five jump guy where he'll become a consistent contributor, all that.
Josh,
he'll grow a pair in year five. Apparently, year five for him, it'll be the year five dropping.
All right.
Remember with Rex Ryan, they just dropped right before us. Are we going to have that moment with Hernandez in year five?
Okay. Why do you take everything to such ridiculous extremes?
I know. It's just crazy. You can't have an intelligent discussion with him at all.
Why don't you call him names?
That hurts.
Like you do
coming
to
from him. Yeah. Guy who just goes Vinatieri's baby. What does that mean, Fred? You can't just yell out a phrase and it automatically makes sense.
I got to agree with him on that. It does hurt a little bit when you say you can't even have a
Your brain can't, cash checks out. What does that mean?
I thought that was good. I don't know what it meant, but I liked it.
Right. At least I know what it means. No one else may not
know
what it means, but I do.
Well,
I'm
it's like when he tells a joke and as long as I laugh.
Right.
Yeah, as long as you think you're intelligent, you think you're intelligent. Perfect.
Let's see. Josh from Waterloo, Iowa.
Wait for it. Shut up, Fat Mom.
Two off-season topics. First, did you see Carissa Thompson do the interview with Mila Kunis? Carissa said she could put her whole fist in her mouth and put her leg behind her head. She proceeded to do them both. I needed a moment.
I didn't see this.
I need a moment. Just
I know
having
who Mila Kunis is, but I don't know who Carissa Thompson
is. She's one of those dime a dozen.
Like
NFL.
Maria Menounos? Oh, wait, who?
No, she's one of the
she's
NFL.
She's a blonde?
Is she the new one? She's the new Beatle, I think, on that show, Sports
show?
Nation, with
Colin Cowherd. I haven't seen it.
She's like a dime a dozen blonde.
I mean, why was she interviewing
Sports
Mila Kunis?
TV.
They like to go pop culture.
Yeah, they have pop culture people on that show from time to time.
They have Liam Neeson on NFL Network. And ESPN, it was you awkward. Might want to,
it's Liam Neeson, not Liam Neeson.
I need a moment just having that story relate to me.
She's in that new Oz movie that I'm actually intrigued by.
Who
it's
is?
The first movie that with the kids that I kind of want to see.
I think it might be scary for the kids.
Oh, Mila Kunis?
Yeah, the Oz's great. It's like a prequel.
You know, Eric thinks he's got a shot
powerful
with her.
Powerful
know,
so. Oz, yeah.
What?
Eric thinks he's got a shot with her. Eric loves her.
Mila Kunis?
Well, she's that movie, the Silverman one, Saving
Sarah Silverman.
She was hot in that.
What movie? She was in Saving Silverman?
Yeah.
Old movie, right?
The one at the hotel with the blonde and the guy, he's trying to get away from the blonde, and then they're at the same hotel.
I have no idea.
With the British rocker.
I don't think I saw it.
Meet Me at the Greek?
Yeah, with him. With him?
Oh, Russell
Brand?
Russell, yeah.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah, she was like the hotel worker.
I'm thinking of Saving Sarah Marshall.
Yes, that.
Or not Saving Sarah Marshall, but something
that
like that.
She was hot in that.
Yes, I saw that
I never
movie.
Thought she was hot until I saw that movie, and then I was like.
Yes, I like that movie.
She's got big eyes.
She does have
she
does.
Have
big
it's usually
eyes.
Not what I like that are big.
She does have
and
big
she doesn't
eyes,
have right. big boobs.
Her feature is her eyes.
That immediately, generally, for Fred, for Andy, just.
Right.
Cross her off the
Which
list then.
Is, yeah, why I generally didn't find her hot until that she did a little something in that movie that made it work.
Let's see. Also, Fred, when are we going to get an app for the Kindle?
Was it in 3D or something? What did she do for you?
I don't know. I've just
did
remember...
she give you the reach around?
My subscription's running out soon. I only buy the paper to support the show. I can't tell you the last paper I opened up. I will not renew any subscription until there is an app for Kindle. Sorry to play hardball, but I have to take a stand to make you listen. I am sure my valued loyalty will persuade you to do the right thing.
Who's this?
Josh from Waterloo.
We don't
Iowa.
Have a Kindle app?
No, even though it's on the Google Android platform, you can't get the app out of Google Play that we have. So we'll have to think of something for the
Couldn't
Kindle.
Couldn't we just do a simple newspaper
yeah,
app?
Yeah, we'll do something.
It's just so they can read it on their Kindle.
We'll figure something
Correct?
Out.
Don't blame you, Josh.
We'll figure something out.
You should be able to do that.
Christian writes
like I could if I had a gun to my head.
Christian with a TIAN, he says, so, according to Paul, Welker is still spare change. Andy thinks he sucks since Paul thinks he's spare change. And Fred needs Welker to have three more 120-plus catch seasons just to make it into the Patriots Hall of Fame. All right.
And, Christian, just so you know, all of those things were said today and are true, but I'm the one who hates Welker. I mean, Fred doesn't even want to put him in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Wait, when did I say I didn't like him?
I don't know. You said something over there.
I don't. I think I've been pretty supportive.
Holy crap.
That's because he's a free agent.
No, it's because
he might be an ex-Patriot. You have to back him up.
He has shown testicles where I think a lot of this team has failed to show testicles. For a team that needs playmakers and needs guys that show up in big games, I think he does. Despite he had a drop in the Super Bowl that wasn't a drop, was a bad throw.
And to be fair, and back me up on this, bad throw.
Yes.
And I've said that from the start.
Speaking of that, I also saw Borges try to claim that the drop in this year's playoffs was a bad throw.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, that's... I'm all for defending West, but that was a horrific drop.
Yeah, the one this year...
Which, for a guy of his, you know, catching ability, that's going to happen.
You could make the argument...
He doesn't have the ability to catch.
If you wanted to be a footy pajama West guy, you could make the argument that he got lit up about two plays before and maybe wasn't seeing straight.
But I can't do that, because if I give him credit for always being the guy who makes those catches, then I can't use that as an excuse the one time it suits my argument.
Right.
It's not how I fight.
And if I wanted to be unfair when you said that about peeling himself off, I would have said, you know, unless it's like a big game.
He has occasional drops, just like everybody else.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's, like, it's not.
No, you think. I don't know what you think. You actually really don't at this point. He stinks. He doesn't stink. He can't catch. He can catch. He's
I
a top of the roster. He's a bottom of the roster.
I
you want to let him go. You want to sign him for $50 million. I really have no idea where you are on West.
The only inconsistency is the day that I said that I think they needed to sign him right away.
But you, I still get back to you and Bedard blaming. It's like you blame him for Brady. He's always going to throw to you, so we got to get rid of you so he doesn't throw to you.
First of all, I don't blame Welker for that. I think that the offense is limited.
No, but you want to get rid of West to go in a different direction like Bedard.
Well, not because I don't like
West. But really,
West.
It's Brady's problem.
If I could be assured that Brady would use West, you know, a little bit more liberally and not go to him every time he had to, you know, have a completion, then I wouldn't have any problem.
So it's a trust or control over Brady that you guys are holding against
Welker. Yeah, I can't get rid of Brady.
Right, so we'll get rid of Welker. That's fair to him. He does his job as well as anyone, but sorry, the other guy is an idiot. We can't control him, so you have to go.
I'm going
to
state this again, which is my position from the beginning of the show.
It's a bit ironic, too. You've been trying to run Brady out of town for like months now.
I don't have any problem if they re-sign Wes Welker. I would not give him a long-term deal. I would not give him more than 2 years, or if it had to be a three-year deal as a fake third year for cap purposes, that's fine. I would not give him more than that. But I have no problem if the Patriots say, you know what, for all the things that Andy said, you know, peeling himself up off the ground and being durable and showing up in big games and all of that stuff, I'm going to give this guy a contract that I'm really not sure that I want to give him, but I'm going to give it to him as a reward. I think that's good business. And I think that sometimes there's special players that do enough for you that you earn that extra trust. But I also can see the other side of it where they say, you know what, your thing, Fred. Everybody's replaceable. And to me, everybody is replaceable, except for number 12. He's the only one, that, unless you have a guy who's as good as him, which is my whole argument.
Except for 81, because they haven't replaced him on the outside.
No, but I've never
except
said...
Except for 24, Ty Law, they've never replaced him at cornerback.
See, but here,
except
here's
for 37,
thing.
Rodney Harrison at safety, they haven't replaced him
see,
yet.
See, all of those guys that they haven't replaced, they've continued to go to... deep into the playoffs, two
right.
Super Bowls.
But
they haven't
won. Now they're deep. I thought they were early.
They haven't won. They haven't won in the Super Bowl. But they've
words
gotten
have meaning, Fred.
They've gotten to Super Bowls without those guys.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
They never got to the playoffs without Brady.
Right. They only had one chance. But
okay. So there's a difference there to me, and I think that we both can agree. I don't like their chances to go to the playoffs next year without Brady.
No. It's my answer to the great argument or the great
now,
debate or whatever it was.
If you
I
want
to go to the playoffs every year, and that's why I want Brady
I never
to play
advocated,
every year.
By the way, as much as he turns it into, well, I'm running Brady out of town. That's coming soon. You know, we got a couple more minutes. That's
well,
coming.
No, that was your stance 2 weeks ago. Now you want to run Welker out of
now
town.
Now I wanted to run Brady out of town 2 weeks ago. Is that accurate, Fred?
No.
But if I could get a young quarterback who I can do all those things
I
with.
I agree with that.
So if you could get a good young quarterback, if you got Andrew Luck somehow. You know, yeah. That version. You'd keep Welker?
Sure. Why not?
I just find that the whole mentality. And Bedard is consistent with you. I find this whole thing weird that we got to go in a different direction with the offense.
But I wouldn't
and
give
Bedard's
him.
And Bedard's saying we got to add a dynamic
but
X.
But Andy, I wouldn't give.
Why can't we add a dynamic X to Welker?
But Andy, if
why
I had.
Is it either or?
If I had Andrew Luck, I still wouldn't want to give Welker 4 years and 30 whatever million.
No, I know. I mean, the money
want
thing
him on
is an
my,
issue based
I want him on my
age
money.
And hits and all that crap. Well, yeah, everybody wants everything on their money. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, well, the Patriots do. That's how they work. They're not going to give him a dime more than they want him.
Right, and they'll let him go, and then they'll regret it, and they'll have to go on a
2007-like
spending spree.
I don't think
just
they'll regret it.
Just like they regretted letting Givens and Branch go.
But I think the philosophical difference that we're having is I don't think they'll regret it. You do.
Yeah, I think they. There's a good chance they'll regret it.
I don't think they regretted letting Branch and Givens go. Them. Well, I think that they paid for it.
Who do you mean, Bill?
Yeah.
I don't think regretted it. I think Brady, Robert Kraft, I think members of the organization regretted it because I think a lot of people believe with Givens or Branch or what, they probably could have won in.
I think they would have been at home in that AFC Championship
so
game.
So therefore,
for sure.
You win a Super Bowl. I mean, to me, that's regrettable. If you have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl and something you did hurts that opportunity, that's regrettable.
Kat from Chicago writes in, subject is listener commandments. In an attempt to curb my own rising urge to commit listener-on-listener crime, I propose we draft a set of commandments for PFW fans. Here are a few suggestions. Number one, thou shalt not ramble. If you want to make a comparison between the NBA and NFL, can we just be concise and say, do you think anyone in the NFL has elevated the league the way Jordan did with the NBA? Instead of rambling incoherently for 3 minutes, I think this also applies to anything that Alvin says. Check. Number two, thou shalt not worship false receivers. The following people need to be crossed off the list of wide receivers being considered by fans as good additions to the Patriots. Randy Moss, who caught a whopping 28 passes in his last two seasons, and who, besides Patriots fans, seems to be the only person in the USA who doesn't realize he's done. Jabbar Gaffney's old. Dante Stallworth is older. Deion Branch is the oldest. Devery Henderson, a man who has had one season in his entire career with over 35 catches. And can we please stop the Danny Amendola talk? Has anyone actually watched any of his tape or looked at his stats? People knock Welker because he isn't explosive enough and doesn't get enough yards after catch, but somehow seem to think Amendola would be an upgrade. Guess what? Amendola's average yards after catch per season over his career is 4.4. Welker's is 5.8. In fact, look at any stat you want. In a side-by-side comparison, Amendola is better than Welker in exactly none of them.
He's even less explosive than Welker. That's a good point.
Three, thou shalt be
less skilled. What was the word? What was the phrasing?
Three, thou shalt be realistic with your trade expectations.
Look at that catch on that screen pass. Wow.
It seems
what
like
skill. We'll do it to Hernandez so he can tip it to a pick.
What skill?
It seems like in the minds of PFW listeners, Ryan Mallett should and could be traded for Julius Peppers in a first rounder. Yeah, I'd like $1 million and a pony. Maybe I could trade someone this old.
Who doesn't like a pony, Fred?
Right. Everybody likes a pony. Maybe I could trade someone this old stick of chewing gum in return. Although I enjoy the comic relief these suggestions bring to the show, I always want to yell out, but I want a Oompa Loompa now.
I want my cake.
I'm
she
sure
says
that
she was considering listener on listener.
Right.
Yeah. Who is this?
Kat in Chicago.
Kat, this is awesome.
I'm sure there are many more. The continuous questioning of when Demps would be back after his place on IR comes to mind. Now is your chance, guys. Lay down the law.
This is awesome. That's just an awesome email right there.
So maybe we should come up with a
Hall of Fame for the emails?
No, a listener commandment. You know, but then if everyone starts abiding by it, it's no fun.
Yeah, we need to have fun.
You know.
Like, they have the right to do it, and then we have the right to make fun of them for doing it.
Right.
The trade ones. There's one that she left out. The trade one is the one that bothers me the most out of those, but the moving of position guys also is one that gets under my skin. You know?
Yeah, but media members fall into that.
Like Shane Vereen, he can be the X.
Right.
I mean, he's a running back, and he's like 5'10", but I mean, he could be the X. I don't know.
Ian Rappaport is now one of the lead reporters on NFL Network, and he once thought that Julian Edelman's future was as a full-time defensive back. That's where he should stay. He's better at it. I mean, that's a guy that you get your information from on the NFL Network, so if that idiot can do it, then fans
can
do it.
You're not the guy I get my
The movie you were thinking of was Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, that.
Forgetting.
Forgetting.
Not Saving.
You know.
What's Saving Sarah Silverman?
No, Saving Silverman was the name of the movie. It was the kid from American Pie, I think, was in it.
And that has the line, if it sticks together, it's one nacho.
Okay.
You're pulling them off the pile if they stick to this one nacho.
I did want to get to this email, though, from Aaron. He says he just finished listening to Tuesday's show, and I can honestly say I'm exhausted. Call it Andy-induced ear fatigue. I think if he goes back and listens to the show, he'll even hear it. The fourth grade sex jokes were more prevalent and more annoying than ever, and he wouldn't let an emailer even finish his own joke. The need to loudly combat everything you or Paul said, the sudden expertise on kicking addiction when he's never even held a joint in his life, please. I heard in one of the past shows that you went to Emerson. I graduated there in 91, And I think you and I both know it was like back in the day. It came with an honorary degree in psychopharmacology. My prescription for Andy is a little Mary Jane. You know what that is?
Should you do some?
Yes.
Do you need to smoke some?
I didn't go to Emerson, though.
He's talking to friends.
Oh. He's talking to me now. Seriously, he needs it. And no, it isn't easy to kick. When I started going out with my wife 15 years ago, I decided I wasn't going to smoke anymore. I wanted to see if my previous failed relationships were because of me or because of my desire to smoke weed. 15 years later, and we're still together, married with kids. It's not impossible to kick. It's all mental. But you need to have a reason, and you need to change your habits. And yes, it was infinitely easier than to kick cigarettes 10 years away from those now.
But wasn't that my point? If Tyrann Mathieu has a reason,
he
can do it.
Fred, please.
Shut up.
Pay Andy enough so that he can either get some therapy, which might have the pleasant side effect of also curing his IBS, or get him a dime bag and some papers. But for God's sake, please have him dial it back a notch. I love all of you guys, but this is not the Andy show. And no matter how great a story it would have been had Eric been attacked by a lion, I hope he's enjoying his vacation and gets back safe. Keep up the great work. My last subscription to PFW was a 3-year deal.
Woo!
And I'll be re-upping for the same when it's over.
Nice.
Aaron's in Long Island.
Aaron, nice.
Long Island.
I like people that do the 3-year deals. I like that show of commitment.
Is that good? Do you get a little something for the effort?
It's good for us.
What?
3-year deal?
Get a discount.
Well, I was going to say that, but I wanted to make sure that we actually got a discount before
sure.
I said, do you get a discount?
It's also good for us. Lock them up
long
term.
You can spread it out over the cap.
Do we have an early termination fee?
Right?
Like cell phones, if you break out early, you got to pay like $500 or some ridiculous thing.
It's not a contract. No. It's just, you know.
It's just for cap purposes, the 3-year deal.
You don't get a refund. I mean, if you quit your Sports Illustrated, you just keep getting them. You don't call them up and say, I want half my money back.
I got that thing on my credit card now where they send you the thing and you don't have to do anything. You're automatically renewed unless you say, you know,
right.
I could see.
That's
be
what
like,
I wanted us to
I'll
go
be
to.
In like my mid-80s.
iPad app is like that.
Patriots football.
Auto renewal.
Daily.
Auto renewal unless you go in to your settings and change that.
That's good.
So, Nick and Chester writes in, usually calls in. He says,
Nick and, should I know Nick
is
and
it,
Chester?
Is
I thought
it
was
Nick Chester,
Chester
in
Chester in
Oregon.
Oregon
that calls in.
Oh, no, it's Chester in Portland.
So who's Nick?
So who's Nick in Chester?
He says Nick Chester.
Yeah, his name is Nick Chester.
Not Nick in Chester.
Jesus.
Oh, Chester in Portland.
Say it, Andy.
Who usually calls in. You got that part right.
Andy, say it.
I didn't know his name was Nick.
I didn't either.
I thought it was Chester.
I know, we all did, which is why you muddied the water by saying Nick in Chester.
Just wanted to write in to say the PFW Facebook page has been great this month. Thanks to Mr. Collins for righting the ship and cleaning things up, so to speak. Why, was it dirty? What was going on there, Kevin? You still back there?
We had some, I don't know, inappropriate language.
Alvin.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Alvin? Wait, what was it? What was happening?
Just swearing and posting pictures of like half-naked women and stuff like that.
Oh,
there's just
boy.
No need for that.
Oh, that's what Facebook was all about?
Unless they were hot.
You look like you just took a nap, Kevin. What's going on back there?
It's cranking away.
Cranking away.
What are you doing?
What does that mean?
Just getting ready for the Revs.
Oh.
It's too bad. When's the first home game?
Well, 23rd. Not until the 23rd, but I'm doing the game for the Sports Hub in Chicago this weekend. So getting all that.
Is Adam Jones the sideline reporter?
When are you guys flying out?
Tomorrow night, I think.
Oh. Adam Jones is the sideline reporter?
No, apparently not. Damon Amendolara used to be when he was the nighttime guy.
Yeah, but I think he actually liked it.
I don't buy it.
Anyway,
I think he was just saying,
did a good job
if this radio show host thing fails, maybe I'll try to be a sideline reporter and this is some experience. Although he's the opposite end of the spectrum of what they usually hire on sidelines.
Correct.
Anyway, Portland and Nick's email. Anyway, a quick suggestion in hopes to spice the content up a notch on the Facebook page between airings. Currently, the content on the page is mostly fan-driven, and while the threads are compelling, I thought an occasional PFW staff posting would drive traffic up and give the page more appeal, something along the lines of the post-game, the pre-game social, polls, hot topics, etc. Can't wait for the new year to begin next week. All the best, and thanks for all you do.
Well, do we post, like, couldn't we post blog entries on there?
No, but you could go in once in a while and
I've never
ask
used
a question.
Facebook in my life.
Oh, here we go.
I haven't.
Is that a badge of honor?
I've come.
I don't like Facebook.
He does take it as a badge of honor.
I don't like Facebook. I have no interest in it.
I've commented on some of their threads from time to time,
but start a thread. Ask a question. Have people respond to it.
Start a thread, Paul.
Kevin,
start a thread.
Eric from Atlanta says, Paul, everybody's replaceable but 12?
Yes.
Why the hell haven't they replaced the defense that was so dominant during the Super Bowl victory years? Who is immediately available that the team can replace Welker with who is as reliable as Wes has been? Number 12 only has a few good years left. The team is much better with Wes than without him. Okay.
We'll see.
Well, I agree with that.
I mean, the team is much better with Wes than without him, but he just defeated his own argument by saying that they haven't replaced the defense that won championships. So they won three titles without him, but the team is better now.
So you're of the belief, take the money and spend it on defense. Don't give him $8 million.
I would rather spend money on defense, yes. I agree with the emailer's premise that the defense has been sort of sagging. Again, if they re-sign Wes Welker, I don't have any problem with that at all. I think he deserves to be paid. We went through the whole thing about the torn ACL and the timing and all, and it was a tough break for Welker. He deserved to get an extension off of what he was doing the first 3 years, and then he tore his ACL. So if they want to re-sign him, I'm not going to sit there and say, this is ridiculous, they'll never win. I don't think the reason they haven't won a Super Bowl is Wes Welker, okay? I'm not trying to suggest that. Sound a little like Belichick there, okay?
One new wrinkle I've seen thrown in, I don't know if it was Bedard who did this, is sort of where McDaniels fits in this picture. Like that McDaniels was the one in the beginning of last year who was wanting to go away from Welker. And that may be true. Maybe he looked at it from afar when he was gone and then in that consulting role. But he was also the one who was here in the beginning of the Welker, Moss. So theoretically, wouldn't he like to, what I'm saying, let's add the Moss back to the Welker
right. And
get back to that.
That's why I thought that was a little curious.
It's like he's saddling the distaste for Welker and the offense on McDaniel. You know, Bill and Tom would really like to keep doing it, but Josh came in and said it's time to get away from Welker. I found that whole idea a bit strange.
I'm sure if, and this is a big if the whole idea in the beginning of the season was, let's see if Edelman can become more of a feature guy so that we can kind of phase Welker out. If that was the case, I'm sure it was an organizational decision.
Yeah, I mean, Bedard takes it a
which
step
means
further.
It's a Bill decision.
Right.
And we don't need to.
Right.
Right, but it's easier to beat up on the guy who can't defend himself.
Right, that's a Bill decision,
what, you know.
And it's a money decision.
It's a Bill checkoff.
But no. I
Josh
think
goes to him and says, hey, what do you think about, okay,
no,
let's
I don't
try
buy
it.
No. I don't buy it.
Why would people have input?
Why would, yes, I do. I think Josh had input.
But
yeah,
I think it went
Daniel
the other way
Bells
around.
And Spencer Larson in. I think some of that's input. But why would Josh say, you know what, we're going to make Edelman the Welker? What does Josh gain from that? He already knows that Welker is a really good Welker in the Welker role. You know who gains from it? Bill Belichick, because he doesn't have to pay Welker in the Welker role. He gets Edelman in the Welker role for cheaper. So that's a Bill decision. That's not a Josh decision.
And the other part, and we're talking about this story that Greg Bedard wrote today in the Globe, the other part that he threw in there, he took it a step further, saying if it had continued, he thinks they were going to trade him.
Yeah. I actually heard him say that last year.
Yeah.
Which may be
so
true,
that's a Bill decision. Yeah,
that
lends credence to Andy in my theory that this is Bill's driving the ship here.
Do we really think
that Bill doesn't want to do?
Josh comes in and tells Bill and Brady, here's what we're doing. You guys need to get on board with me.
Par from Stockholm says, why give Welker and the offense this much focus? The offense will be just fine with or without Welker.
That's Paul's theory.
I would prefer Vollmer and Talib before Welker at this moment. If we can get a defense that are ranked in the middle of all teams, we'll be 13-3 easily next year.
So now it's about yards again. Because they were good points. Weren't they tied for ninth?
Tied for ninth in points. Now, I think they need to be significantly upgraded defensively.
Me too.
But That's where I would focus my offseason attention, but I do think that they need to change a little bit offensively, assuming they're not able to overhaul that defense and make it great.
Okay, so give me a post Welker offensive depth chart.
I don't know.
Okay, that didn't work.
Well, we got 1 minute left.
No, I'm just Welker's gone and we're cutting Lloyd, right? So give me we know it's going to be Gronkowski and Hernandez with Ballard at tight end.
I have
we'll
to
call
sign
Hooman a fullback. You can have those four guys.
Yeah, I don't think Hooman's going to be on the team. So
okay,
I'm
so
not counting him.
Cut him off the depth chart.
I'm not sure they're even going to offer him a qualifying offer, restricted free agent offer. But I think that they need to get
Hooman too.
I mean, do we really need to? Do we have to qualify the fourth tight end?
He's a fullback.
I'm not sure that they need to.
Right.
We got rid of Larson, so he's our fullback.
Okay. fine. Then, you know.
I like fullbacks. Somebody's going to stick by my fullbacks.
Maybe they will do that. That's,
okay, but go ahead. Give me the depth chart.
I don't know specifically who, but I mean, I think they need to draft somebody in the top three rounds.
Okay, so that's
they
one.
They need to draft a wide receiver in the top three rounds,
receiver.
And they need to sign at least one veteran.
Yeah, I'm not going to let you get it. Give me something.
Brian Hartline is the guy that I sort of wanted. Now, you guys told me that he was looked like he was imminent.
Looked like he
Miami.
Was close, but I haven't heard.
I haven't heard anything.
He's
on
the
that.
Welker of Miami. It was close until it wasn't, and then it wasn't. Well,
so, do we know? I mean, is he still available?
I don't believe
still,
he has signed.
Then Brian Hartline would be the
so
guy
Paul has a rookie
I want.
And Hartline,
and I would also try to get, you know, like roll the dice on a David Nelson
David
type.
Nelson.
You know, I'm not. I don't want David Nelson to be the one guy that I'd bring in and say he's going to fix all. I want a guy who I'm a little bit more. Who's a little bit more reliable than David Nelson.
What about
but
Kamir Aiken?
Those two guys with a
this
rookie.
This is all a joke, right, this Kamir Aiken thing?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
No, that's what I would do. I think you need to bring in sort of an established veteran.
I don't like it.
And a sort of secondary veteran.
So you want to stick with
Lloyd. And then a rookie.
And is Hernandez going to catch 100 balls in your – is this
I don't
like
care who catches 100 balls.
Sorry.
You know
sorry, that. I didn't mean to bring up catches. I am sorry.
I don't care, like – you know, how the breakdown goes. But I know that...
Yeah, but we throw the ball like, you know, 500-600 times.
Right.
Like somebody's going to catch those. Because if we just throw them and no one catches them, Paul, then that's not
yeah, good. But I
know
am pretty sure...
I know you don't care about catches.
I'm pretty sure someone's going to catch them. And at the end of the day, the 400 completions are going to go to somebody.
Unless
I don't,
they don't.
I don't care if, I don't care if 120 of them go to one guy. I don't care if the guy that replaces Welker ostensibly only catches 60 balls.
I got to tell you, I think if those are your receivers, you might need 140 to go to one guy.
I think, for example, I think Shane Vereen might double anything that Danny Woodhead ever did as a third down back in terms of production.
Wouldn't that put him at like 70 catches?
You know,
sorry,
I think that
catches again.
I think he could catch you know a lot of passes. I think if now listen, it's a big if, and here's where you're rolling the dice. The two tight ends need to stay healthy in my scenario because they are going to have to be productive. So if you're right and Hernandez turns into a bottom of the roster guy because he can't stay healthy.
Can we pump the brakes on that.
Okay.
A little bit?
Now, how do you like it? If Hernandez.
Well, if he's at the bottom of the roster with Welker, I'm fine.
If Hernandez.
It's quite a team we put together.
To be fair, if Hernandez struggles again next year the way you said that he has, and I agree with you, I think he had a bad year
this
year.
A verb?
I'm in trouble. My whole overhaul.
Yeah, I have no confidence in your receivers.
Because I don't have the reliability of Welker. I know if I bring Welker back, he's going to catch 100 passes.
Your receivers would scare the hell out of me. Even if it's my guy, Terrence Williams, Brian Hartline, and David Nelson. Scared poopless.
So you're ignoring the tight ends.
No, I'm saying receivers.
No, I know, but I'm
not
talking
pass
about
catchers.
But I'm
production.
See,
people use pass catchers and receivers interchangeably. When I say receiver,
yeah, see,
I mean receiver.
I do because
pass
I don't
catcher is
because I don't care
Paul's
who catches the ball.
Production. So we're going to play Vereen, Hernandez, Gronkowski,
right.
And then just fill in.
No, but you just said that people use receivers and pass catchers interchangeably. I do because
right.
I don't care who catches it.
But see, it's
I
different.
Just know someone will. At the end of the day, they're going to have 400 completions.
Yeah,
and
but
I don't
if they
care
have 400
who,
completions,
don't
and they don't lead to points. If you're not productive,
I think that they.
So you think those guys are better playmakers too? Because if
well,
it's our goal to improve playmaking,
I think they could be.
It's a good discussion that
could
evolved
be.
Late in the show, huh?
Could
and
be.
It's a good discussion that will continue next Tuesday because we're out of time.
Yeah,
thanks everyone
next
for
Tuesday.
Listening,
I'll be off to
calling.
Loserpalooza.
If I didn't get you your email,
the president and founding father of Loserpalooza, Paul.
I think Eric will be back.
Oh, that's it. That'll replace Paul right there.
Andy will be here. Paul will be recovering. So we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com.
There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.